profession!
Middle of the afternoon, a friend of mine called today and said the start of the show is sometimes clumsy because they might be playing a Brandmeier rerun and it'll just cut out and start with this, or there's silence to the point where you're not sure what's going on, and then this all pops on.
That's the future.
Sure, that's the future. Just keep saying that. F is either for future or fiasco, depending on the day. That might be fixed a little bit. D. Hochberg, my sugar daddy, dicky, muff baby,
buddy.
He is going to start his show at 2 at some point, and then I will interface with him at 3, so there will be a show in front of me that's live, and that might eliminate some of the awkwardness that happens.
Will
I don't know what
to
it is.
Sit on each other's laps as you transition?
Why is that?
Will he be working out of these studios?
Is he going to be literally right here?
Where does he do his show? Here, right?
Here. So he's live.
I don't know.
But that's not going to work.
There's always...
I don't know about this future.
You ever have that puzzle? It's a square and the tiles.
Right. You got to get them in... Right.
Numerical order,
right?
And there's one space that you can use to move another tile into, so you can start working into that numerical correctness. This thing, you move a tile, you think you're on your way, and another
and
thing
then you
goes
got
out.
A three before you're seven.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was the precursor to the Rubik's Cube, almost.
Moving that thing. That's what I remember as a kid. That was a fun game to have.
It was.
And now there's a new one on that a lot of people are playing on their computers called 2048, and it's that sort of thing where you just keep moving tiles, and you have to make numbers slide together, and you have to reach...
And what's the 2048
when
purpose?
You keep putting, they keep doubling numerically, so 2 8s make a 16, 2 16s make a 32, blah, 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 until you finally hit the 2048 tile, then you win the game.
Sounds like a new segment for John Williams.
Wow.
I've gotten to the 1024.
Pulling your sharp knives out early this week.
Wow.
Usually like to warm up before we attack. Spartans! Oh!
There's nothing like the present.
Well, Leslie's going to do the news and other things, and then I'll play my opening, and then... Jim Ramsey is in for Tom this week, so that means he will be telling us how much he loves this city, even though he doesn't live in it. 312-521-8600 is the text and the phone number. Leslie.
Charges have been filed in the shooting death of an aspiring photographer this weekend in Rogers Park. 31-year-old Eric Vaughn is charged with first-degree murder and attempted first-degree murder in the death of Will Lewis as he waited for a bus in the 1300 block of West Devon on Saturday afternoon. Police do not believe that Lewis was the intended target.
Oh, that makes it much better.
Uh-huh.
There was another target.
Yeah.
That would have made it much better.
These are just bad aiming incidents,
They always say that. He was not the intended target. Oh, well.
That's
if
worse.
If he had just hit the right target.
And an alderman actually saw that happen.
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Joe Moore was up there right across the street.
And didn't this guy work in some dangerous area, some foreign country? Did I see that in the paper?
Eric Vaughn?
And I
want to say he had just been hired for a brand new job, too, which is invariably the
case.
I'll
find out. Go ahead.
The shipwreck Costa Concordia was successfully refloated today, 30 months after running aground on a reef off the coast of Italy, killing 32. It'll be anchored in place for about a week before being towed to Genoa for scrapping.
I don't know. Where is it?
Also in that area.
This is one guy destroyed this ship, 32 people killed.
32
one guy.
Dead.
Who wanted to wave to some woman on shore.
And the cruising industry. He didn't help
that much either. That didn't do it any good either.
Yeah.
The
final
price tag for the one-of-a-kind salvage operation? $2 billion. That's B, billion. And city workers were out in full force cleaning up after a weekend of fun and violence. Jackson Boulevard remains blocked as cleanup from the Taste of Chicago continues. Meanwhile, crews were also engaged in a huge cleanup effort at Montrose Harbor following the melee there that left acres of debris scattered in the park. 4 officers were injured, 1 squad car damaged from flying rocks and bottles when they attempted to break up a fight at an illegal concert last night at the harbor. Taking a look at the expressways, Edens outbound's doing just fine at this point. Inbound still slow approaching the junction. When isn't it? 23 from Lake Cook to Montrose. Kennedy outbound's 28 to the airport. Inbound side, a 40-minute trip. Ike about 23 between the post office and Mannheim. Stevenson outbound's at 42 to 355. Ryan southbound about 18 to 95th. Meanwhile, we've had all sorts of incidents along the tollways, luckily all of which have been cleared up, so the tollways are looking good. I'm Leslie Keiling, WGN.FM.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
He's down on the phone.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
FM. Right here.
Good afternoon, Vancouver and Akron.
Here.
4,000 people participated in the Great Bull Run in Cicero on Saturday. It's the American version of Spain's Running of the Bulls. One participant said, quote, "You don't realize how big and fast they are," unquote.
Stupid!
Really? Why do you think people are happy when there's a bull market? Because it's slow and small?
No.
Hey, you thrill seekers, I've got a challenge for you. Tape a $100 bill to your forehead and run through some of our bad neighborhoods at midnight screaming. Hemingway would be proud of you. A dead body on a gurney fell out of a coroner's van in Pennsylvania when a door malfunctioned, sending the corpse wrapped in a white sheet into the middle of a busy roadway. Motorists whizzed by before the body was reloaded. What kind of Benny Hill operation is this? Maybe this can be another event, the running of the corpses.
Yeah.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the building that contains 120 stones from around the world. It's WGN.FM from the Tribune Tower. On the Super Streamliner, the Super G in Chicago. In for Tom Skilling is Mr. Ramsey.
Hi there, Gary. How
are
you?
Hey, Jim. Hey, guess who's on the phone?
Tom.
Tom's up? No, time's up. Tom's up in Alaska. Time's up with you. It's Johnny from Michigan. Have you ever met Johnny from Michigan, Jimmy?
No, I don't think so. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Jim. How's it going? I talked to you once before a couple years ago. Nice to talk to you again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Johnny from Michigan. His father was President Eisenhower's dentist.
Really?
Yes.
And I got to go to the White House last week, and I wanted to talk to you guys about
it. All right, and I want you to recap the entire trip. You went from Michigan to New York first on a bus, right?
Yep, I went on my train.
Okay, on a train to New York first to see the fireworks, right?
I went to the hot dog eating contest at Nathan's for the 4th of July.
Okay, did you see the fireworks?
No, I was so wet. I was so tired from watching the hot dog eating contest that I decided to stay at the hostel that night.
How was the hot dog eating contest? And it was a record setter, right?
No,
it wasn't.
No. What happened was Joey Chestnut got engaged to his girlfriend that before he went on for his contest.
No, all right, that's right. He was not on his game. He didn't eat enough to.
I think it was like 51 hot dogs or something.
Yeah, what a slacker.
Well, Johnny got stuck in the
rain.
He got what?
It was raining.
Yeah.
It was raining.
Yeah, it was raining. It was raining at the hot dog contest. I got there at 8:30 in the morning. The hot dog contest was until about 11 for the win. But it was fine until the start of the women's contest, and then it started raining on us.
What women's contest? What kind of contest was this?
Hot dogs.
Women, too?
They eat the hot dogs, too?
Yeah.
His
girlfriend was a female contestant on the women's side, and she didn't do so well, but she did get engaged, so they both fared out pretty well, both of them. Yeah. So,
Johnny, you took the train to New York just to see the hot dog eating contest?
I went to the Mets game on the Sunday after the 4th. I did take some pictures for Tom, and I don't know if Tom put those pictures up on his program, but another thing I did was I went to the Statue of Liberty and went all the way up to the crown. That was very small up there.
Yeah, that's, that was like, that's claustrophobic, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're afraid of small spaces, I wouldn't suggest going up to the crown.
I couldn't get up to her torso. I'd hang around the knee area.
I took the elevator up the pedestal to the base of the statue, and then I walked up the stairs from the pedestal to the top of the crown.
How tall is that?
They said it's about a 20-something story building, the whole thing, I guess. That's what they say.
Oh.
But
no elevator?
Elevator for emergency purposes only.
Oh.
And I did go to Ellis Island. That was very interesting.
Wait. You were there for emergency purposes only. What does that mean?
No, the elevator's for emergency purposes.
I thought you were there helping out in case of emergency. Knowing you, Johnny, that would be possible.
Yeah, Ellis Island was very interesting. I passed one of the tests where you had a critical thinking skills test for the immigrants to come across to Ellis Island. I passed that test.
And then they put you on a boat, and now you're somewhere in Europe.
He saw the Statue of Liberty in the headlight. Right. The taillight.
I was just up in her crown.
You had to pass the test at Ellis Island to get three. You had $25, and you had to pass the test that the immigration officers were to give you.
Well, what's
you
on the test?
I had to pass a critical thinking skills test.
Well, what does that mean? What kind of critical? What critical thinking skills?
Yeah, what is that?
What is that?
Yeah, well, there was like a square, and you know, like the shapes. You work with lots of shapes, and you have like a certain time limit to put all the blocks inside the square for critical thinking. And I passed that test.
That's good.
But the other test I wouldn't have passed because of my heart. You had to be physical to prove that you weren't going to come to here as freeload.
Okay. And then he changed his name to Johnny Michigan.
Right.
And the Mets game was a cool game. The Mets won the game. They scored 5 runs in the first inning. And the White House was really small, though.
Wait, don't. Everything is smaller in person, Johnny. The Mets game,
yeah.
They're in a new park, a relatively new park. It's only a couple years old. How much for how much for your ticket?
About $20.
Good seats?
I had seats up in the sun, so I stood in the shade most of the time.
Yeah,
so,
that's brutal. When I would go to a Pirates game and it'd be on the sunny side, and that sun would be beating down on you, and then I'd look around and see if any empty seats were open in the shade and leave.
Yeah, probably pay $200 for those.
Yeah. I did go to the disco party Sunday night.
Wait, what?
Disco party.
Yeah, remember I was going to the disco party?
Well, no, refresh my memory. Where was the party?
It was at B.B. King's Blues Club Sunday night. The group was called Disco Unlimited.
How was that?
Fun. The only two songs they didn't do were George Clinton and Gloria Gaynor. They did everything else, though.
So you're busting a move there, huh, Johnny?
Oh, yeah. I had macaroni and cheese for dinner at B.B. King's. It was really good. And
this was at the White House?
No. We're not at the White House yet.
Oh, still in New York.
Jim.
Oh, gotcha.
Johnny does
this
more.
This is in Times Square, New York at B.B. King's Blues Club.
Johnny does more in a weekend than I do in 5 years.
Wow. He packs it in.
He does. This kid's amazing. How old are you, Johnny?
Yeah. 38. I'm 39 New Year's Eve.
Wow.
He's got the strength and energy of a 15-year-old.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, and Monday I went to the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. I went to the New York Stock Exchange. I went to Federal Hall.
You rang the bell.
And Alexander
9:30, ding, ding. Johnny from Michigan opening up the market.
I did not get to go inside.
No?
I just walked out, but... I could not go inside. I asked, but no.
And when you take that test at Ellis Island, if you pass, what do you get to do?
You get to live in America.
Oh, okay.
Let me ask you about that test. If there are 25, 25 questions? Is that right?
About $25. You had to have $25.
Yeah.
You had to pass out because they had no psychiatrist. They had to figure that you were able to do a process and to provide for yourself so you wouldn't freeload off the country, I guess.
Well, obviously somebody's asleep because I look around. A lot of people aren't passing that test and they're walking around.
How many questions you get to get right to pass?
I forgot, but the test I did...
Wasn't that the first question?
The test was you had to put lots of shapes inside a square, and that's what I did really well with.
Yeah, a lot of call for that in this country. Yeah, that's good.
How many questions are there? Did you answer that, Johnny?
I think there's a whole sheet of them. I forget how many, but there's a load of them.
How many people are? Where you go? How many people are taking this test with you?
I was just the only one that wanted to take it.
Only Johnny.
Nobody wants to come in anymore.
Who wants to take the test? Johnny. I'm already a citizen, but I'll give it a go. What were you going to say, Johnny, about the test?
There was a sheet of questions that the guard had to ask the immigrant coming through Ellis Island. And if you can answer those questions, I think there were like 10, 15 questions. If you can answer those questions and prove that you weren't going to be a freeloader, you can come across.
Okay, is that why? Then why are these kids in Mexico coming that way? Why don't they go around, take this test? They could get in.
You had to have $25 also.
All right, I'm sure they could scrape that up.
Mm-hmm. And they found out Johnny had smallpox. He was quarantined for 4 months.
Yeah,
Johnny
is. The part I would have failed would have been because of my heart, because I'm not really physically able to do labor work, but light work I can do. But I wouldn't have been able to pass the medical part of the test.
All these immigrants or possible citizens on treadmills at Ellis Island got to go 20 minutes on the treadmill to get in.
Yeah, I felt very, when I was going through Ellis Island, I felt very proud to be where I was, you know, that I was here and that all these people from another country came across. My grandparents came across before there was Ellis Island. My mom's grandmother came across from Ireland before they even had Ellis Island in 1880. So,
yeah. Well, we're all from immigrant parents or
grandparents. So Johnny's an illegal.
Yeah. Johnny's calling from prison right now.
He's in the shadows.
But then, is that all you did in New York? So you had the mac and cheese at B.B. King's disco party.
I went to Alexander Hamilton's grave site. I went to Alexander Hamilton's grave.
Where's that at?
Trinity Church, which is down the street from the Stock Exchange.
And you did all this on your own? You're all by yourself.
On my own.
Yeah.
I'm all by myself.
Just running around all over New York. So now, when do you head to the White House?
I left for Washington on Tuesday. I took the bullet train from New York to Washington, about 2 hours from New York. I left at 10 o'clock and got to Washington at 12:45. And I just had a blast. I had a really good time. The White House is really small. I only got to see a couple of rooms. I never got to see the Oval Office. I never got to see the press room. Maybe they wouldn't even take to see what I guess that's the blue room where they have all the press people and all of that.
What did you see?
And photos, paintings, photos of the first families, family pets, family children. Gerald Ford, I saw photos of. I saw photos of Obama's, the Malaya and Malaya I saw, and Teddy Roosevelt's son had a cockatoo, some sort of bird as a pet, I guess, Teddy Roosevelt's kid. I saw the first family's pets, and I sat down in the chair, and I wasn't supposed to sit down in, and I got yelled at,
Perfect.
It was Eleanor Roosevelt's favorite chair.
Right. Exactly. Here's Johnny all sweaty, looking at pictures of a cockatoo. Oh,
he kept saying, but my father was Eisenhower's dad.
Right. I own this place.
I own this place.
I got a free pass, permanently.
Yeah, and on the morning I left, I woke up at 4 o'clock. I got to the Jefferson Memorial at 5 a.m., and I took pictures of the sunrise from Washington, D.C., all the different memorials, Jefferson, Korean War, Vietnam, Wall, Washington Monument. I took pictures of before dawn, Lincoln Memorial. I went over to Virginia to Arlington National Cemetery. That was really good.
Yeah.
I saw an unknown soldier chasing up the guard, and the Kennedy Eternal Flame, I saw that. Just walked all around and walked for about 6 hours the morning before I left.
Is the White House tour free?
The White House tour is free. I had to wait 6 months for clearance. It's really short, though. I got in at 11:30 and I was out by noon.
Oh, wow. Jeez. All that for a half hour and just to see Teddy Roosevelt's cockatoo.
Yeah. And,
or three.
The other thing is you can ask tourists of the Capitol building, which I didn't know at the time. You can ask tourists for the Capitol to your congressman or the Federal Bureau of Engraving, which I'm going to go to next year.
Did you go to Air and Space?
Air and Space.
I did go there.
Yeah, that's cool.
I went to Air and Space Museum. That's very cool in there. Kids will love that.
And he broke off part of the Wright brothers' plane by accident.
The other thing is, I went to the Library of Congress. I can go and do research about my family at the Library of Congress for the next 2 years. I just got to show them my Library of Congress card. And look up my family life in the Library of Congress. You already gave me some information to look up. So,
how about that, Jimmy?
Jim?
Yeah,
that's
you know
hey,
you missed a lot of things though. You missed the Washington Cathedral. That was probably a must see if they fixed the masonry.
I was only in Washington for 2 days.
Oh well,
do you see what he did there in 2 days, Jim?
I'm amazed.
Yeah,
you know, I lived there about 3 years. Yeah. I didn't do half of that.
Yeah,
I went to the postal museum. That was really cool. You get to make your own postage stamps.
Oh yeah, there's
mine didn't turn out too well though.
No, what did you try to make?
I was trying to smile on my cousin Noreen. She told me you got to smile better.
Oh my!
Did anybody else sit there and try to make their own stamp, or you were the only one doing
that
too?
There were kids and adults doing what I was doing, making their own stamps at the postal museum was right across the street from the train station.
It seems like all the post offices are museums these days.
The old post office in Washington's fabulous.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what they're doing in Canada now, don't you, Gary?
No.
They're eliminating door-to-door mail service within the next 5 years. They're going to have to go to a community mail box and get their mail. Their budget is so short that they don't want to deliver mail out to the door-to-door anymore within the next 5 years.
Okay, wow. Well, I wonder how far we are behind that.
A long way, I hope.
What's your next excursion, Johnny?
I'm going to Toronto for Labor Day weekend. I'm going to the Canadian Expo.
All right.
Wow.
And how much was the hostel in New York?
My friend Zach gave me a coupon from the hostel in Chicago. I got a free night. So for five nights, I paid $216.
In New York?
In New York. It was on 103rd Street in Amsterdam, which was near Humphrey Bogart Street. And it's also down the street from the Tom's Restaurant, which is the diner in Seinfeld.
Right. Wow. That's not a bad area.
Well, it's actually kind of cool because Saturday night I just sat out and had McDonald's all fresco style. So,
that's the best way to do McDonald's.
and Gary, I thank you so much for helping me out with things. I tried to send some pictures to Tom, but I don't know if he got him on air or not.
Yeah, he's gone all week. Send him to Jim and see what he thinks.
Yeah, I'll take a look at him.
Is it the same email address?
Yeah,
same email.
Just changed the name.
I have T. Skilling at Tribune.com.
Yeah, just put J. Ramsey.
J. Ramsey at Tribune.com.
Right. No, at WGN TV.
At WGNTV.com.
Right.
Oh, WGNTV.com. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was saying Tribune.com for Tom.
And you're coming back to Chicago in October.
Halloween.
Halloween.
So
wow.
It's Jay Ramsey at WGNTV.com.
Right, that's
cool.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, send him to him. See if he can get him on.
Now, why wasn't the new news on? WGN America today, Jim. What's going on with that?
I don't know. I don't know. They don't tell me things.
Did they pull that one, too?
It was on Friday, but
really?
When I went to go watch it today, it wasn't on today. They had it in the heat of the night.
They had a what?
In the heat of the night with Carol O'Connor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So they pulled it at 9 o'clock around the country, but still at noon, apparently, or maybe not anymore.
I don't know.
Today it wasn't on today at noon. So it was on Friday, but not today.
Yeah. It's amazing where I find out things. I didn't know that. Yeah.
If I didn't talk to Johnny, I would miss half this stuff.
Oh, man. I tell you.
Gary,
yeah.
I hope your audience enjoys me being on your show. I get a real good kick out of being on your show.
No,
so.
Johnny, I enjoyed the heck out of you being on the show.
Yeah, it's great. It's great stuff. He'd be stuck with me otherwise. You were... Perfect.
No. I saw him on the phone, and I want to get Johnny on.
Absolutely.
He's got a job, too, in Michigan.
Yeah, I got work tomorrow. They called me. Today was my last day. I was on vacation. Tomorrow I got to go back to work.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, keep in touch, Johnny.
And one more thing. Jim Ramsey.
Yeah.
That's Jay Ramsey, capital J-R, at WGNTV.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I'll send you one of the ones with the Washington, the memorials before sunrise. How about that?
All right, sounds good. Sounds good.
Thanks, Jim. Hey, guys, have a great summer. I'll see you guys on Halloween, okay?
Yes,
okay.
We'll be here, and we'll check in before that.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Johnny.
Bye, Johnny.
How about Johnny, huh?
I tell you, what a guy.
He really, since I've known him, and he just showed up outside the studio on Michigan Avenue one day, he tapped on the window, he's holding a piece of paper. And I started talking to him off the air, and he said, yeah, my father was Eisenhower's dentist.
That's
well, right
what the
there.
Paper said.
You yeah, know, he had an official piece of paper. That right there, I was hooked.
Yeah, did he say he was gone just 2 days to see all of this stuff?
Well, it was only about four or five.
No, in Washington, 2 days.
Right,
no, in Washington. 3 days.
He did a lot of that in about 5 days max.
And he must have gotten up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
That's a lot
and
of moving
he does that
around.
All the time. Really? Get on a bus or a train and just go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, some of this stuff is not close together. I mean, Washington's a small city geographically. It's like 3 by 5 miles.
Yeah, but how did he get to Arlington Cemetery? He had to go across. That's a long...
Oh, yeah, that's in Arlington. That's
a long walk. You had to go across the bridge. And
yeah, you got to take a bus or rent a car or something.
I've never been, so I don't know the logistics of
that's
it all. Yeah.
That's sort of out there.
Well, I lived in Alexandria, which was, you know, just next to Arlington and... just across the river from Washington. And I know that in the 3 years or so I was in Washington, I maybe saw a third of the museum. I never got inside the White House. I guess I'm still waiting for clearance.
Well, it's only a half hour, and you just get to look at photos. I can do that on the internet.
Yeah, I know. Well, this was you know, pre-9/11. I think they were a little looser about the tours and things. But I never made that trip. The... I did fish in the reflection pond once in front of Jefferson Memorial.
Is there a
the
fish
tidal basin.
Worth eating
yeah,
in there?
It's a tidal basin. Well, what happened was I had a friend who was a congressional aide that I was in college with, and he called me one day and said, do you still like to fish? I said, sure. He says, well, I know where there's a landing on the Potomac River, so we went down and rented a boat, and you could actually access with some difficulty this little pond in front of the Jefferson Memorial. But I didn't like fishing in there because these kids with ice cream cones, you know, would be standing on the bank looking down at you. And did you catch anything?
Dripping their ice cream on you.
Yeah, it was kind of a problem. A little embarrassing, actually. Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting place to live.
Oh, you liked it overall?
No.
No,
but it was
an
interesting place to live.
Yeah, but you didn't like living there. I mean,
much rather live here.
What are the drawbacks of living there?
I think that you get to know your neighbors only for short periods, because when the administration changes, so do your neighbors, which is kind of a funny fact about that. So many people work for the government that, you know, everybody is either your neighbors are being appointed to some position or being brought in to do something. I don't remember, this was 35 years ago. But I'm trying, it probably hasn't changed much in that regard. But it was a difficult city to drive in. It's arranged like a wheel with spokes, and as I remember, the spokes are named with letters of the alphabet, and the concentric circles of the wheel are actually states. So and I worked on Connecticut Avenue Northwest, which was way out almost to Chevy Chase, Maryland, and it was difficult to drive. The traffic was terrible. Oh. A lot of ice storms in Washington.
Okay.
It was difficult to get around. It was people were pretty nice, but they're fairly nice most places.
What about the cherry blossoms?
I did get to the cherry blossoms a couple of times. I thought that was a dismal anticlimax, to be frank with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk around the trees. I've seen cherry trees before. It's pretty the first time, but it's only pretty for a few days, and then all the blossoms fall off. But it's, you know, it's it's worth seeing once,
I'll
I guess.
Scratch that off where I'd possibly want to
I'd make that a low priority. I mean, if you're there...
I've never even been there. I know there's a lot of great stuff to visit, but...
Yeah, the Smithsonian will take up your whole vacation if you want to really get into it, because it's building after building after building after building of stuff. The person that called it America's Attic knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
But you have to hit the Air and Space Museum, maybe the Museum of Natural History. Go up and look at the Hope Diamond. You know, it's
all right. Well, Johnny seems to. I'll have him take me on a trip.
It sounds like he knows how to do the whole thing. You know, but at the TV station I work for in Washington, I had to do one live telecast every day from some place in Washington, and so I went to all of these various places. But many times we were just setting up to do the weather outside, so I never actually got into it. So I got to see where a lot of things were, but I never really got a chance to go in and visit. But National Zoo, nothing like the Chicago zoos.
No?
Chicago zoos are far superior, in my opinion. Far superior. National Zoo would be a great zoo, except the buildings are so far apart that you literally will walk yourself to death to go from one thing to the other. And I remember I actually was one of the people who covered for the local stations the mating of Sing Sing and Ling Ling when they were trying to produce a baby panda, and talk about something that was difficult to describe on live television. So you had to watch what you were saying. I mean, it was one of these. Well, they clearly are getting close at this point. Hopefully, we'll see some action here in a few minutes.
Yeah,
but we'll return.
We'll show you that bear action.
Oh yeah, there's this. But you know, if you handle it with some humor and some care, it's not impossible to do that, but it was a little embarrassing, that assignment. But yeah, it was an interesting place to work. It was this was in the mid 80s, so that was a good long time ago. What, 30
all
years?
Right, I have sent you a script.
I saw it. Yeah.
And have you read it over?
I have actually.
You ready to go? I don't think so.
Jeez.
Flemka Diddlehopper.
Yeah, this microphone's full of mold, is what it is.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, well, I suppose I can do this.
All right, we have the music. Here we go. 3-2-1, July 14th, 2014. Jim Ramsey loves this city. Here he goes.
A couple drives to Chicago on a Friday night from Iowa, about a five-hour trip. The goal is to spend the weekend in what is touted as one of the great cities in the world. The couple doesn't get to the big city much, so the excitement level is high. When they get close enough to see the great Chicago skyline, they'll get chill bumps. They check into one of the fabulous hotels the city has to offer and head out to dinner on West Randolph. A stretch of trendy restaurants awaits them. They dine al fresco. The weather is summer perfect. The vibe is urban grandioso. Back at the Trump Hotel, drinks on the 16th floor across from the Wrigley Clock, right about at Trump's big fat name. Tomorrow, the itinerary includes the taste of Chicago, and this is the main focus of the trip: to sample foods, stroll through Grant Park, and listen to music at the Petrillo.
All right,
I never
you know
could
what?
Say Petrillo.
That's all right, because I made a mistake here. It should be right above Trump's big fat name.
Well, I'll pick it up at back at the Trump Hotel.
Yeah, right above Trump's big fat name.
I gotcha,
all right.
Yeah.
All right, this is take two, picking it up here.
Back at the Trump Hotel, drinks on the 16th floor across from the Wrigley Clock, right above Trump's big fat name. Tomorrow, the itinerary includes the taste of Chicago, and this is the main focus of the trip: to sample foods, stroll through Grant Park, and listen to music at the Petrillo Music Shell. When you wake on Saturday morning, you check your phone and see that the Taste of Chicago is canceled because of rain. You and your spouse are nonplussed because the rain stopped around noon and the sky appears to be clearing. Is this the same rigmarole as closing the beaches when it gets too hot? You ask the concierge at the hotel to recommend something else. He suggests you drive out to Cicero to run with the bulls at Hawthorne Racecourse. You get a chubby, knowing you would never get to Spain to do this. During the run, your wife falls and hurts her ankle. The ride back to Iowa is with mixed emotions and an elevated leg. You never know what can happen to you in Chicago, and that, my friend, is the way we like it.
Yeah, that's nice, Jim.
I tried to add a little more gravitas that time.
You did. You sold it.
Did I?
You did. Somebody should be fired for canceling the Taste of Chicago Saturday. That was the most ridiculous thing.
The mayor canceled it.
Okay, then he
Didn't
should
he?
Be fired.
God,
oh, no,
that's
he's,
tough.
He's got some goon below him or
oh, is he?
Several goons. Why would you cancel this thing? It runs during summer. There always will be a chance of a thunderstorm. And what is so flooded that people can't slosh through?
Yeah.
Who's going to drown on Columbus Drive? That would be appropriate.
Well, you know, I'm not out to defend the mayor for any reason particularly, but I got to tell you that when you're under some of these severe weather watches and so forth, the weather can turn so volatile so quickly, and it may be that the city didn't want to take responsibility if you've got something like a water spout that comes ashore or intense lightning. Or
was that predicted afternoon? Because the skies did clear around noon, and the rest of the day was hunky-dunky.
I can't speak to that because I was here till almost 1 o'clock in the morning on early Sunday morning.
Yeah, but you can't speak to it because you'll be watching all the weather.
Yeah, I was watching things happen and watching what looked like really severe storms coming together. I wasn't sure exactly the timing or what would happen there.
Is that what they looked at and said, we got to pull the plug on the whole thing?
That's a good question. I can't speak to that. I don't know who he consulted or what advice he was given. I know that it did clear up after the morning rain, but you still had at least a chance of something developing the rest of the day, and that probably was on his mind. You know, if you sit in his chair for a moment, kind of envision what it would be like to be the mayor of Chicago, and you may have I don't know, 150,000 people at the Taste at any one time, and you're looking at the skies getting dark, and all you've seen on television are houses blown over and people, you know, weeping at the ashes of where lightning struck their house, and so you probably would do wise to be a little more cautious.
Okay.
I don't know that that's what I would have done.
Lollapalooza
in this case,
had that same issue. Was it last year or the year before?
When it got up to like 102.
And there was a storm coming. They had the announcement made, everybody's to leave the area until after the storm. Everybody very quietly left and then came back when it was over. This was wiped out for the entire day. That's 20% of the run.
Well, you know how freaky this weather can turn.
I understand that, but
Sunday was the anniversary of that 1995 heat wave. The temperature on the 13th of July was 104 at O'Hare and 106 at Midway, with heat indices that had to be over 120. And there were 733 people that were killed in that and died because of heat. Now, that was something that, while we knew the heat was coming, nobody knew exactly what the impact would be.
Let me ask you, and I've asked this before when that kind of conversation comes up, what did people do before air conditioning? They just dropped dead all over the place?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's why I ask it.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of the building that was done probably in the 1920s, 1930s, took into account the winters and not necessarily extreme heat in the summer. And so that places that did not have air conditioning, but had like tar-covered roofs and maybe tin roofs in some cases, would actually heat up very rapidly, and the interiors heated up when temperatures got as high as they did in 95. But that was unprecedented. I don't think that still stands as the record for that date. And I don't know that if that's not the all-time record.
Okay.
I could check on that, but
I would imagine and air conditioning in its current penetration is only about 40-some years old. With central air, and I'm not talking about just movie theaters and what they did back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s and encourage people to come inside because it was air conditioned and that was all you could do to get air conditioning is go into a movie theater or whatever.
Know, the funny thing about that is there are a lot of factors to consider and what may or may not be dangerous. Consider, for example, in January, and let's say that you've gone through a period of, 10 below temperatures as the daytime high even, where you've got maybe 15 or 20 days and you really are bundled up each time you go outside. Then, for some freaky reason, the temperature suddenly turns above zero, where you've got maybe 10 or 15 above, and you want to walk around in short sleeves because it feels so good. Your body adjusts at different rates for different temperatures, apparently, and we can tolerate it better in some circumstances than others. But if you're blindsided with extreme heat, And you're used to it not quite being so hot. Your body may react in a way that's
And I think it was a lot of elderly people back then, right?
Who
didn't have the wherewithal or didn't know anybody, and they just sat there and just baked because
the very old and
nobody
and
checked on them.
Yeah, the very young children and very old people were particularly susceptible. And that means something to me personally, since I'm rapidly getting into that category. So. that's essentially what goes on, is you've got buildings that are so well insulated that when the temperature rises rapidly and the interior of those homes really shoots up, you don't really have much of a chance. It's kind of like sitting in a hot car with the motor off and no air conditioning, and you know what the glass does, magnifying the heat, and suddenly inside the car it's 135 degrees. Same sort of thing can happen in a house if you've got windows maybe with no drapes or drapes that are partially open and you're not really paying attention to what the weather outside is doing. But what was weird about that day was that the humidity was so high, dew points approaching 80. And so when you walked outdoors, it was really like walking into an oven.
Well, I made my 10-mile walk on Saturday to my barber.
That amazes me.
And I have to admit, it was humid enough where I didn't have that perky step I usually have, but I did it.
I can picture that.
I can't stop now.
Well, you probably got a lot cut off, too. When you went home, you know, you weighed a lot less.
I did.
Yeah.
The way back was much better, yes, because I had my freak flag done on my bra strap before I got there, and now it's much shorter. Evelyn has a question for you, Jim. Evelyn?
Hi, Evelyn.
Yes, how are you, gentlemen?
That's good. Evelyn.
That's your name, Evelyn?
Yeah, Evie. You can call me Evie if you want.
Okay. Okay.
Listen, now, I have a question for the weather pharaoh, Randy.
Oh, okay.
The question is there a standard model on the Doppler? So if WGN uses, let's say, 5 inches equals of rain equals the light green, and the dark green equals, 10 inches, and so on. Now, does each weather station have a standard model? Because I've noticed that Fox use yellows more, and I think they try to be a little more alarmist and to get ratings.
Well, that I can't speak to them, but I do know they have their own radar system. Most of us use a system which actually takes advantage of what the National Weather Service offers. Now, when you talk about the colors of the storms on the radar, those are more indicative of the cloud heights and not rain production.
And that's standard. It's like electrical wiring. Red and blue.
Yeah.
You can't have, I like purple more, so I'll do purple when there's a storm coming.
Yeah, you see the brightest colors normally indicate the highest cloud tops.
If you're Jennifer Kleist or whatever her name is.
Mary Kay Kleist.
Mary Kay Kleist. You know what,
like
ain't
she's
easy.
A nice person.
I'm sure she is.
Oh, she is, yes.
I didn't say she wasn't.
Well, no, I just was, you know, commenting.
By the way, I want to just interject something here. Okay. I am giving away some stuff I promised to do around 3:30. Obviously, we're past that. And I just wanted to remind everybody, it is a Samsung phone. It is, which model? Is there someone who can update me on the iPhone 5, right? The Samsung 5? I think that is the one, and then some Bluetooth speakers and things.
Somebody, you're giving away some class stuff here.
I am. Some representative from Verizon is coming in to do that, so we'll get to that in a minute.
Really?
Yeah. Seeing something on our weather alert in the studio. There's some kind of storm watch going on.
Yeah, I'm...
All right, let me do an official forecast, guys. I'm going to replay this at 6. Here's... Hey, Jim, what's the weather?
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you that I want you to start this over, and I'll explain why.
All right.
The storm watch you're talking about actually expires at 6.
Oh, okay. So
it's not going to be valid at that time.
Can you do something more generic?
Yes, I can. But as long as your immediate audience realizes that I'm not going to mention that for that reason, then I'm off the hook.
All right, why don't you do that now, and then we'll start the other one that can replay at 6.
Okay. You want to intro me again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim, what's the weather?
Well, we've got some cloudy skies over parts of the area, even some rain falling. But I think that at the most we'll just see a shower early this evening, followed by clearing. Low temperature is going to be surprisingly chilly in some of the western suburbs. We'll probably drop into the mid or even upper 40s, well away from Lake Michigan. Downtown should be in the low 50s. Then for Tuesday, partly cloudy skies, still a possible shower, and maybe a couple of showers. High temperature, low 70s, 71 degrees. In some spots, may struggle to get out of the 60s on Tuesday. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies. A shower is again possible. High temperature 73. So this cooler trend continues. Thursday, we begin to see things turn around a bit. Temperatures rise to about 78. We'll have partly cloudy skies. Friday, up to 83 degrees with mostly cloudy conditions. Saturday, up to 86. Currently, it's 73 at O'Hare, 78 at Midway, 70 at the lakefront. Water temperature 61 degrees, and winds are northwest at 14. Gary?
Thank you, Jim.
Now, at 6 o'clock, you may want to cut the temperatures off because they probably won't be current.
All right,
you know.
Whatever.
But I'll leave that up to you. I mean,
last week, all this freeze-ageddon is coming.
Oh my God.
Goodness. It was just stupid.
This is just a little bit of a cold snap. We get these, you know, once or twice every 2 years.
And I saw on the weather page, it's, like you said, it's going back into the 80s right away. So
yeah, it's only about a 3 or 4 day spread. But
good.
It's we're running a little below normal for the month of July. So it's, you know, people are getting a break from the air conditioning bills, I guess.
All right. I didn't turn it on once over the weekend. We've got almost,
that's right.
You know, we're like 5 inches above normal for the rainfall since June 1st.
I hope so. My God, it just keeps coming.
Yeah, man. It's a mosquito paradise.
It's a soaker. Yeah, they're copulating like nobody's been, like those pandas in Washington.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you.
And the air conditioning, I like when it's almost hard to breathe. Because then I feel like I'm alive. My lungs get a workout.
It was muggy on Saturday.
It was muggy.
Not me. I struggled to breathe ever since I had the flu back in January. I've had issues. Yeah. And it, not as bad. It's slowly getting better and better and better and better and better. But it, yeah, if it's really humid and it's the mold count's high, sometimes it's a real challenge.
All right. It's good to open the pores.
And if you make a sentence too long on your script, I strangle with that, too. But generally, I'm okay with it.
All right, before I let you go, I'm going to, and I do this with a caution flag out, because this guy that texts me, he's always looking for trouble, I know. Ask Jim about Saturday 9 p.m. TV severe weather bulletin paper that he couldn't read because the print was too small.
That was the funniest thing I ever saw.
This is true?
I saw it.
Because sometimes this guy just stirred up.
In the middle of the entire his entire segment, a guy with a suit steps into the screen and hands Jim a piece of paper, and Jim takes his glasses off and looks and goes, I can't even read. And then he gets to the table and he can't read it there. And then,
well, it's
Bob
what
Jordan
it was.
That's
making...
wrong.
Okay, what had happened was that we have a nice relationship here with a fellow forecasters. That was Mike Hammerick coming on the screen.
Yeah.
What had happened? I think he was on the CLTV side of things. And if there's a breaking piece of weather news that we think might be useful because it may be time sensitive, we will pass it to each other, even if we're on the air. And so what he did was he brought this into the studio. But the trouble was he printed it off from a site in which the type was already small. And by the time it got printed out, this was impossible to read.
It was microfiche.
And because I wasn't wearing my bifocals, I don't usually wear those on the air.
He lifted his glasses up.
Yeah, I slid my glasses down to my nose and looked over the top of
them. And now you're live.
Yes,
I'm
there's a pause. And what I said was, it's a severe thunderstorm warning in someplace, Ogle County, I think. And so, well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But
he's got a big magnifying glass.
Yeah, so
I
got
his eyes real large.
Well, that's what I said. After the end of the broadcast, I got through the weathercast, went back to the table, put the sheet down and looked at it, and held it up, slid my glasses down on my nose again, and looked at this paper. And said, okay, this watch is for such and such. And I handed it over to Jackie Bang, and I said, I need a magnifying glass. This is the tiniest print I'd ever seen.
You can see how paranoid he was. He's like, I wish I could show you people just how small this is.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't.
But I...
yes.
I'm at an age where your eyes go along with everything else, you know. So
right around 40, I'm looking at the newspaper for movie times, and all of a sudden I say, wow, they're really printing these times smaller. No, they weren't.
Well,
that's when I got bifocal contact lenses.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do, you know, at that point. But normally it comes in, Mike would have handed me something. I mean, he apparently has like eyes like a cat, but I can't, you know, unless the print is a little bigger, I struggle with that.
And the whole screen was just one big, big cloud. So Jim was standing there walking over, and all you saw was the other person's like legs and hand.
Yeah.
Giving him a piece of paper. Yeah. I was like, what's happening on the station?
Is that on YouTube yet? Because I'd like to see that.
I don't think it is. I think you probably have to know me and for this to actually have struck you as funny.
Oh, I was.
Since you
floor.
Do, you might have, but I think most viewers would say, oh,
well,
look, some breaking weather.
This guy caught it.
Oh, it was great.
But he's always looking for some kind of problem at the weather department. That's why he texts me all the time.
Well, we do have a lot of platforms to get weather information out. And, you know, I'm actually 20 minutes behind schedule. We got a 5 o'clock show coming up here.
I'll
kill a few minutes with you and explain some of these things. But essentially, it's not that there are a lot of errors. As much as sometimes there's just not enough time to complete certain projects, so we have to move with breakneck speed. And at that point, it's easy to overlook something.
That's why your mistakes come in. The big bucks, Jimmy.
Not me personally, but I'm not missing any meals anyway. But nonetheless, it can be a little tricky to get, especially if you've got things popping, like big thunderstorms and watches and warnings and advisories and flood warnings and so forth. And because it was volatile on Saturday, we wanted to get as much on the air quickly as we could, so Mike came in and gave me this. But I think that he may have had less trouble reading it than I did.
312-521-8600 is the text and phone number. Here's the text, then I'll let you go. This is Real TV. Jim was very professional in the handling. A comedic break in a serious moment. That's what you did. You did your professional dance there.
Well, thank whoever that.
I just did. You're
that wasn't Bubba
now.
Bibble, clearly.
No, that's from.
No, I had a good time.
Listener. He enjoyed the breakdown. Hey, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 3, Jimmy.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim Ramsey, in for Tom this week.
Yeah, that was really fun.
I got to see that. If there's any document of that, I'd like to see it.
And he stops. So if like, because he's reading it, so now for like 3 or 4 seconds. There's nothing happening. There's just a man on the screen reading a paper that he's not reading out loud. He's reading to himself.
Because he can't see it.
Yeah.
That's my Ramsey. All right, in the studio with me, Eddie Voltaire. Eddie, identify yourself.
I'm Eddie.
You're Eddie?
Yeah.
Who's your companion?
This is Dan Fedor, Gary.
Dan Fedor.
Big fan.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Craig, my producer, at least for now.
Until
that's straightened out. Told me last week that, Dan, you wanted to bring some stuff up to give away, and when you told him what you're giving away, I said, oh, yeah, I'm very happy to do that because being on this new platform, this is the kind of stuff people should have to enjoy the show more, and why don't we tell people what you have to give away, and then we'll talk.
Terrific. Yeah, today, obviously, everyone listening to the broadcast now is at least listening with their personal computer or some other device. So I thought it'd be great to help your listeners out a little bit and bring up some devices that will allow them to listen in their cars, both by way of Bluetooth, but also if they don't have Bluetooth-capable cars, we have what we call FM transmitters. Now, a lot of your listeners will know what those are, and they're somewhat archaic, but they can be very useful. The FM transmitter will plug into your phone. You set the station on the transmitter to whatever station it is on the car radio to match it, and it will pipe through your car stereo whatever it is you're listening to on your phone. In fact, I have many in the studio here. It's only about this big.
It's the size of a... Well, can you turn it the other way? Cause I can't.
It's like an eraser.
Yeah, it's about the size of
an
eraser.
It's like one of those old erasers you used to have.
Yeah, and I tried it out this weekend in my car. I have I'm a family man. I have a 2008 Chrysler Town & Country minivan that has Bluetooth, but not media Bluetooth. So I have to use an auxiliary cable to plug into my phone. So I actually enjoyed using this over the weekend because it allowed me to go wireless inside my car. I didn't have to plug the phone into the car, and it made life a little bit more easy. And what was unique about these devices off of Amazon, which were literally less than $8, was it snuffed out the actual station that was broadcasting.
The way it should be. That's what my bumper sticker says. Snuff out what
snuff
you used to listen.
Radio.
This is a snuff film, baby.
I thought you would enjoy that. So you could set it to any station you wanted to on the FM dial and snuff it out. So I wanted to bring some of these. I know many of your guests are pretty tech savvy, but I was reading some of your posts on your Facebook page, and someone said they just bought a smartphone, said they could listen. So I thought it'd be a great way to encourage folks to try to listen in their cars if they can. And I asked my friends at Verizon. I've been in the mobile technology business for about 5 years in Chicago. I've worked with Verizon in the past. I gave them a call, and as soon as I told them about the opportunity, they didn't hesitate to send Eddie along with me to give away a couple of things from Verizon.
And, Eddie, you are the manager at the Verizon store in Schaumburg. Is that right?
I'm actually at Woodfield now. The Woodfield location, and that's, the Woodfield Mall, Schaumburg area.
That's Schaumburg to me. That's,
yeah, right?
The whole town's a store, a house, a store, a house. So that's Schaumburg to me. Woodfield is Schaumburg.
Absolutely.
And you're in where in that area? Because if I just drive into Schaumburg or Woodfield, I got to know within 300 feet where I need to go.
All right. So if you're in the Woodfield Mall, you're actually going to head out towards the Red Robin section.
Love Red Robin.
Yeah, right. It's a good place to eat.
Bottomless fries, right?
Yes,
right.
Bottomless fries.
I mean, I don't know how many you can eat. I was done with mine, and they came by. You want more? I can't, but yeah. I'd like to.
Usually get away with two baskets, and then I'm good from there. But once you walk through there, you just make a left. Actually, it's a brand new store. They invested quite a bit in terms of how that store works. So it's actually a really nice store. I definitely recommend coming to check it out. It's a new store. You know, all kinds of new accessories, new toys to play with, things like that, not just phones. So there's definitely a lot that we have to offer at that location.
Good. And what else did you guys bring along that you want to talk about? I know we're going to give away a phone.
Yes.
Which phone is that, Eddie?
So that's the Galaxy S5. I'm sure everyone hears and knows about it from all the commercials on TV, but it's Samsung's latest and greatest device. And we also have the Motorola Roadster 2. It's a device that Dan was kind of talking about with the whole FM transmission. It actually is a Bluetooth speaker that allows you to transmit through FM stereo as well.
And the Samsung campaign, if I'm remembering this correctly, is they are up against the iPhone.
Yes,
and they do that whole thing where these people are standing in line to get the new iPhone, and the people with the Samsung have a lot better use of theirs, more features.
And that's, again, for some of your listeners who may not have bought a smartphone yet, I get asked a lot, what should I buy, an iPhone or an Android? And honestly, I think that the iPhones are sometimes more intuitive, a little easier to use. If let's just say maybe an older person was shopping for a phone, an iPhone might be the way to go because sometimes they're a little easier to use. And Verizon offers iPhones as well, right, Eddie?
Correct, we do. Definitely.
Right, Eddie? Right, Eddie?
And we're down, make a right at the Red Robin, take your basket of fries, head down, look at all our stuff.
The Androids are from basically Google, and they're somewhat unfettered. They can just keep churning out phone after phone after phone, right after the other, and just continue to increase the size of the phone. And that's what people like these days. So there's a lot of buzz right now that the new iPhone is going to have like a 4.7-inch screen. But for the listeners out there, you can stream your show. The WGN app is on iPhone and Android, so there's really not a problem whichever one you go with. But it is an Android phone.
I get this comment every now and then about the buffering and how sometimes people are listening and it'll stop and then it'll go back. And then come forward again. I don't know if that's on our end or service or what.
No, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. In fact, I was listening to your show the day you were playing your dad's recording.
World War II.
The memorial. Yeah. And literally it was the climax where he was talking about the Italian American with the little burner.
Yeah.
And I was an Army officer after college, so I didn't go to war, but I can appreciate being out in the cold. And, it cut out.
Really?
Right at the climax of the story. Now, I was able to get on the podcast, but no, it just, the app can be buggy. People are on, there's a lot of callers I've noticed that call in, they talk about, I don't have Wi-Fi in my car. Now, that's just kind of a semantic problem because Wi-Fi is wireless, and that means stationary, basically. So you might have Wi-Fi in your house through your cable provider, or your business might have Wi-Fi, but when you're out roaming about, that's cellular. So when you're in your car, you're going to be connecting on a cellular network. But sometimes on the newer phones, if you have your wireless on and your cellular and you drive by like a Starbucks, it might try to grab the Starbucks wireless and it'll cut out for a minute and then it'll come back later. So there's so many Wi-Fis blasting out of people's homes and other places that there's so many things that can interfere with the signal. But on the most part, it's pretty stable, and it probably is just on the other end. You've got so many different providers and phones.
And what are the chances you'll be driving by a Starbucks? They're hardly anywhere. 312-521-8600. I got Dan and Eddie in here, and if you have some tech questions, this is the time to ask. Like Justin. Justin, what do you got? Hi.
I have a clunky cord that I plug my phone into my stereo so I can listen to you in the car while I'm driving, and it's constantly getting wrapped around my gear shifter. So I would love to have one of these Bluetooth devices. I've never seen that before. My car, I can make Bluetooth phone calls, but it won't pick up any of the apps via Bluetooth. Right. So does this device that you have transmit any, you know, can you transmit any sound over, via Bluetooth with that device?
Do you mind, what kind of car do you have? What year? What model?
It's a 2012 Malibu.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. As Gary, you've been saying, you know, all this stuff, is you drove a Tesla.
Top of the hour. Hang on.
Spartans! What is your profession?
And we are at 4 o'clock. Go ahead.
Well, that was exciting.
And that reminds me, I posted on Gary's page a how-to video with the device that we're giving away today, the FM transmitter. So, yes, the answer to your question is it will definitely work in any vehicle with an FM radio and a smartphone and a tablet.
And that's, you said, around $8?
It literally off Amazon was $7 and some odd cents. I sent the link to Craig. And I'll post it on your website as well. But there's a variety you can choose from. But this one is funny because maybe it didn't come with any name brand on the packaging. But came through Amazon Prime, and it works like a charm.
And it was delivered by a drone.
Yeah, literally.
Can't ask for anything better than that. Now, that sounds like something that even I could figure out. I like that. Just plug it in. It's like the FM tuner I had when I was without FM. I know some people are thinking, how old are you? There was a time where cars just came with AM, and I wanted FM because I was an up-and-coming rocker. So I had the FM tuner in my glove box and I had to reach over and turn it on there. And it was, I should have said it was goodbye AM back then.
Right.
But I'm saying it now.
And as fantastic as some of this technology is, simplicity is key for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody wants it as simple as possible. I don't care if you're tech savvy. Simple is good.
Well, think about this. When I get in the car to listen to you, I have to mount my phone on the dashboard. I've got to then plug in the auxiliary cable. Then I've got to open up the app or the web to listen to you. So there's a lot
of steps. That's exactly how I have to do it.
There's a lot of steps involved, and sometimes it's just not that easy to do. So if you can remove a step or two, there's a mistake sometime that people make with technology that everyone's walking around with the latest and greatest stuff. Eddie, hold up your wrist. Show Gary what's on your wrist.
Oh, he's got the cool phone.
Is that the Samsung
watch?
It's the Galaxy Gear watch, yeah.
And tell us about that. Is that all you need, Justin?
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Gary. Appreciate it. Love your show.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I've been seeing the watch now in all these advertisements and in magazines and things. You got to get this. Tell us what that's all about, Eddie.
Well, I mean, the Galaxy Gear watch is definitely a unique device. It actually puts out all your notifications on the fly, so whenever you get an email or a Facebook message or even a text message, you get to see it before it actually, you have to pull it up on your phone. So if you're the kind of person who's very hands-on with what you do for work, or if you don't have time to keep pulling your phone out of your pocket, it makes it very easy. The next really good piece for me is the phone call aspect of it, too. So it does take phone calls, and you can speak into it and have a full conversation with anybody you're talking to. It is based off of speakerphone technology, but it does make it pretty convenient. So if I'm at the desk at work, my mom calls, and I'll tell, hey, Mom, I'm in the middle of something. Can I call you back? And she says, yeah, and then that's really it. I never pull the phone out of my pocket to view any of my notifications or anything like that.
And is there an earpiece that could go with that, too, or is it all
no,
just off a speaker?
No, it's all through the watch.
Okay,
yourself.
So there's a speaker in there, and you can...
Yeah, speaker, microphone. Yeah, it's definitely there.
Okay. You can talk like a CIA guy.
It's Dick Tracy.
Yeah. Dick Tracy, yeah.
Right, right into your wrist.
It's a new Dick Tracy toy, for sure.
How much does that go for?
This particular model, there's a few of them. So there's the Gear 1 and the Gear 2. The Gear 1 right now, I believe, is for $200, but obviously with the Gear 2 out, it's probably the one you want to go with. It's the upgraded version, so...
And so that's more of a convenience thing if you don't want
that's
to keep
Bluetooth
pulling your phone
wrist.
Out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're driving. Oh,
absolutely.
Just look at it like a watch.
Correct. Yeah.
And what other things are on that would be worth talking about?
Obviously, we have a pedometer for those who are interested in fitness. I have the pedometer as well. The newer version actually has a heart rate monitor. So it does focus on your heart rate, tries to figure out where you are in terms of your pace. With the technology of the Samsung device, you know, there's definitely a connection with the watch and the phone itself, where it actually allows you to kind of get a summary of your weekly goals and weekly activities to see how well you're doing through the week and how many calories you've burned to keep up to date with your fitness.
Yeah, I don't know if I want a heart rate monitor on my wrist. I don't want to know when it's coming.
All right. Mike is on 312-521-8600. Mike, you're on with Dan and Eddie.
Hello, Dan, Eddie, Gary, and Jim. How you guys all doing?
Good, sir.
Good, Mike.
Good.
Great show, Gary.
Thank you.
I am listening to it every day. I'm a blind user of an iPhone. I use it with VoiceOver, and it works great. My question to you is about the FM transmitter. My wife has an older van, unfortunately. It's 1998, so it doesn't have any Bluetooth or anything like that. So my question is, this transmitter, I know the FCC kind of cut down the range of these things. The one that you're talking about, I'm kind of interested in. Does it have enough range to go over one of these old Mercury stereos to where it's not going to be staticky?
I think so. That's what I was kind of joking about. This one, there is a name to it, but when I tried it out this past weekend in my 2008 minivan, it snuffed out the other stations surprisingly well. I tuned it into 107.1, which up in the northern burbs was pretty clear of any station bleed over. So
okay.
The short answer to your question, this is great, Gary. I'm glad that this is happening because, again, you know, there's this the Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, cellular, but you do not need Bluetooth to listen to Gary Meyer in your car. You
That's
just
great.
Need an FM transmitter. And for those of you that don't win one today, like I said, the one that we'll put a link up hopefully is less than $10 off of Amazon.
Okay.
This is the best way to start the week.
$10.
What's that, Mike? Go ahead.
How do I win one, even though it's only $10?
I'm going to do that in a few minutes here. When we get all of our conversation done, I'll tell you how you can win one of these things. But I have not heard of this before today. Maybe I'm running behind a lot of this technology, but nobody's mentioned that to me of all the things that have been mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I have an older one that came from China, and it was probably about 5 or 6 years old before the FCC stopped them. But unfortunately, it's breaking. But I used to be able to get a half a block out of this thing. Now they cut it so far down that even in your own car, it's terrible. You hear the stereo hash all the time. That's why I was kind of curious as to how good this one is.
I think these might be 6 years old.
Really?
Yeah, well, I went into Radio Shack over the weekend, and I was looking at FM transmitters, and they were all like $30. And the clerk there was telling me that, oh, yeah, they're not great. She was trying to sell me on the aux cable because she was talking about that bleed over in the FCC. But again, that's Amazon's problem. These are available, and they seem, like I said, I use it all weekend. And again, I put a demo video up on Gary's site, his Facebook page. Please feel free to friend me, et cetera, ask me any questions, but it's all there in plain English to figure out, but it's very intuitive.
Well, thank you very much for your answers, and Gary, thank you, and you have a great show. Keep on going, man.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. And what other stuff did you bring with you? And before we get to that, we were talking about the capabilities of the car is coming with built-in internet service. The Tesla already has it.
Yeah.
I was in a Tesla last week, and that is the Jetsons right there.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of us can't afford a Tesla. The good news is other cheaper car models are coming out, and with the 2015 models, I believe Chevy is going to have. Do you know anything about this?
Well, I know that there's a trend to make the smaller, cheaper cars come with all the latest technology. So like the Ford Fiesta, the Chevy Malibu, there's this quid pro quo, you buy a cheaper car, but it's going to have all outfitted completely for technology. So I don't know anything specific, but other than the fact, well, I knew that the Ford Fiesta was trumpeting that a lot of features and technology inside the car, and most of the newer cars will have a Bluetooth media capability. If you rent a car, for your listeners that are on business travel, it used to be when you rented a car, you couldn't get the Bluetooth to work. It was all locked in, you know, like satellite radio. You couldn't do it. But nowadays, any rental car will have Bluetooth capability, and you can connect your phone before you leave the lot. It doesn't matter that it's not your car. It'll just let you connect via Bluetooth, and it's both media and phone. So yeah, I think just about every car post 2013 is going to have Bluetooth media and phone capability.
What's your best guess? And I was told 2 to 5 years when cars will come in off the showroom. Like satellite radio has been in cars now for how many years? Standard. Now you have to order it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But to have that in the car, like satellite radio, internet, where it's saturated? Where do you think we're at as far as that goes? 2 years, 3 years, a year?
I think there's got to be manufacturers out there now. I'm not sure who that are probably going to do it as a matter of course. Like, you know, I can't remember who bought Fiat, but
Chrysler.
Right. So there might be just. I think it's probably already happening with some lines, but I would say no more than a year. I hate to make predictions on anything tech, but to me, it's just a no-brainer that you've got to have Bluetooth connectivity in the cars, especially from a safety perspective, too.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think the biggest thing, too, with technology, some of the cars already have built-in Wi-Fi, too, where cars are putting out hotspots. So the concept of it being able to have technology in the cars for full-out internet, you know, I definitely think someone's talking about it. Since we're talking about it now, that concept's been probably mentioned before in the production line and try to figure out how can we get internet access, you know, available for families who are with kids. Maybe they need access on the go and things like that. So it's definitely something they're talking about.
Well, it's definitely moving that way. It's not where it's going to reverse or stay stagnant. It is heading that way where they say all of AM and FM will migrate to the internet at some point because you don't need a transmitter, and all those expenses that used to be are going to be washed away in this.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of the show. I used to drive around with my dad listening to Wally and him giving away pantyhose and all that good stuff.
I hope they were new.
Yeah. But it is true. It's all going that way, and we've been listening to the podcast for years. You know, we like Nick's show, and we don't stay up at 2 a.m. So I thought what you guys could do for your podcast is maybe give out your cell phone number. So if guests listen to it later and want to talk to you about a topic, you know, they can call you.
Yeah.
That's that'd be
3 in the morning.
Oh, sure.
I'm putting in 4 hours a day now. I mean, I can't be any more available than that.
But it is all going that way, and we want to make sure that all of your listeners can access you in their cars, and some people might be worried about their data usage.
Right, I get that a lot too.
Yeah, it's a hard answer. I talked to Eddie about this. He can chime in a little bit. But bottom line is, most people are going to have like a 2 or 3 gig data plan, and I think listening to your show is not going to put them over if you're a Verizon customer. Well, I'll let Eddie talk about your My Verizon and how to track your data usage.
Sure. So, you know, with the availability for online access, we have an online portal. You can track your usage throughout the entire month, every day. If you have a family of 5 or 6 or however many you have on your plan, you can always track everyone's usage. But off the phones themselves, if you're not going to be available to jump onto a computer right away, you could see your usage available to you from your device to see where you're at, and it's pretty much real time. Also the major benefit is you can set up usage controls through your online portal as well. So, for example, you know, when you set a plan, so I have my family on my plan, and I can set a limit of how much data one person gets. So my two daughters, they utilize an iPad for school and things like that just for fun. But they actually, I have set their iPads to 1 gig of data. No matter where they're at, no matter where they are in the country, as far as they go is 1 gig. Once they're at 1 gig, it turns off the data connectivity until they're on Wi-Fi. So you can track your usage wherever you need to when you're listening to the show as well.
How much would this show soak up?
Not much. Like if you download a movie before you wanted to fly somewhere, that's like 2 gigabytes for like a full feature movie. That's video and audio. So bottom line is, I really don't think people's data plans are going to be that negatively impacted by listening to your show via their cellular connection in their car. But if they have any concerns, then they can, you know, if they're using Verizon, they can check out what the usage is. But really, it's just not that much. If you look at the podcast, they show what the megabyte is of the podcast, and it's megabytes. The podcasts are never in gigabytes, so I really don't think it's an issue.
Okay.
The one thing I did notice when I was listening this weekend, you have the option to download any podcast you might have missed. So if you download it to your device and you're on Wi-Fi, that doesn't hit your data at all. And you can go back and listen to it when you're on the go if you want to, or you listen to it live, whichever comes first for you. But you do have the option to download it before you actually get on off the air, if you're off Wi-Fi, if you will.
And we were talking about the FM transmitter, the phone, which we're going to give away. And I believe you have the Motorola Roadster 2 Universal Bluetooth in-car speakerphone.
Absolutely. And the Roadster 2 is a very popular device. There's multiple kinds in this lineup. But The Roadster 2 is really beneficial. It is a Bluetooth-connected device. So as Dan was talking, some cars don't have the ability to have Bluetooth with media or Bluetooth at all. This is also an FM transmitter that's completely wireless. The major benefit of this is you don't have to plug it into anything at all. As soon as you get into your car, the device can turn itself on because it has a proximity sensor. So you slam the door, the device turns itself back on, and once you have it connected to your phone, it automatically connects. So, I mean, you could picture this, right? You get into your car, you already have the podcast going. As soon as you hit the, as soon as you close the door, the Bluetooth device turns on, you press the FM button, and you pick the station you want to connect it to.
That's nice.
Yeah, and they're very nice. The sound quality is great on this. It's terrific.
And that's available at Verizon.
Yeah,
and
we definitely
Eddie
have
will
those.
Take care of you there in Woodfield.
Yes, indeed.
And do you have one of these waterproof?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Earson Outdoor Sport waterproof, shockproof, dustproof, wireless Bluetooth speaker. There's a lot of proof there.
Is it water resilient or waterproof?
Yeah, there's a difference.
There is a difference. Yeah, I know many of your listeners have real jobs and are working outside or painting houses or whatnot. So I thought it'd be a good idea to equip at least one of them with, again, a very inexpensive Bluetooth speaker that they can use anywhere they go. And put it outside, et cetera, and not worry too much about it if it gets dusty or a little bit wet. So we're happy to also provide one of those to those that work harder than we do every day.
No, that's Danny calling this a no job. You think this is easy, Danny?
Hello,
well, that
Danny.
Was a subtle shot.
Yeah, because when anybody sees us doing
right,
this,
they're like, what the heck is that?
Whenever we do remotes, I go, I know this looks easy.
Yeah.
And it pretty much is, for the most part. It's that other stuff that you have to go through that makes it ugly. So I'm giving away all that stuff during the show today. Dan and Eddie are going to leave that, and I'm going to do that in the next hour or so. But I appreciate all of the stuff you give me, and if you want to make this an ongoing thing, I'll be happy to accommodate that.
Yeah.
Because we're all, well, not all of us, but some of us are just getting started with all this technology.
I'm a huge fan and a little narcissistic, so I would love to. It's just such a pleasure to be able to help your listeners. And I wanted to leave. You guys were talking about storage facilities and nail salons. And I think Jim said all we do now is build apps. And I thought I'd let you know, Jim, guess where most of the apps are made?
Where?
The Ukraine and Vietnam.
Oh, so we don't even make those?
No.
Why have we never been in the electronics game? What happened where we never made an effort?
I have no hard evidence, but
it's labor. I understand that.
Well,
but geez.
From the app perspective, the development perspective, I think it's because of the fact that those countries have pretty good educational systems across the board, so they have a lot more engineers than we do. You hear that a lot. So the app, these guys are making the app. We might think about it over here, but then it gets sent over there for the guys to actually code the apps to make them. So again, that's why I've got two young daughters who want to encourage them to get involved in engineering, you know, computers, because it's the way of the future. But again, we'd love to continue this and help your listeners. Keep listening and grow your listener base as much as possible.
All right. And I'll tell you what. Let's start it off with the phone. I'm going to give away the phone right now. I'm going to ask a question about Friday's show. Got to have a little work to get this because it's a nice gift. What song did I end the show with on Friday?
Oh.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
312-521-8600. And
played it from my iPod.
I want whomever's my engineer at the moment to answer the phones and get the, you know the answer? Yeah, they don't even know.
They don't know.
He wasn't listening. I will tell you. Let me see. I'm writing something down. Right?
Oh.
Right?
No, that on Friday?
Yeah. I don't even think we know.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think that was Thursday.
Oh, great. I don't even know what
a... No, I think Friday we did have a song.
What was the date on Friday?
It was the
11th.
I'm pretty sure 11th. We did because it was still on my iPod today when I turned it on.
Okay, is Eddie going to check here for me?
I mean, I could pull the podcast up and just scream to the end.
Yeah, the very end.
I'm almost positive we did.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Am I getting my days mixed up? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was...
No, I think it was Thursday because that was a show where we didn't even have any, no commercials or anything.
Just kept talking.
Yeah.
All right, I need Eddie to verify, though, because I'm giving something away, I can't get my ass in a sling here.
Well, because when I turned my iPod on, it was still on. That song had, it was still up. So that's what I'm pretty sure.
All right, well, if that is correct, it was almost a trick question.
Has anybody called in?
312-521-8600.
Yeah, see if somebody actually... just tell them don't screen it.
Don't screen it. I'll just put them on. Just put them on hold, and I'll go through them.
They think they know the song, yeah.
I'm on the podcast, but if I play it, it might come
there to is, my mind. There is a song. Verify if there's a song. Because I know what the song is if it was Friday, because I thought there was no song.
And that would have been a great question, too.
Darn it. I thought
there's no rules here. You could change the question.
That's true.
It's
not like the FCC is going to investigate any contest I run.
You don't have to live with that just since we... I'm pretty sure there was, and that's what it was.
All right, but I need a verification so I don't... And let me just look at the... Bib, hand me your... Verify the song.
Yeah, see?
Let me see.
See, because this is what was up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You got it?
There was a song?
No, we're still looking for...
Come on, I thought you guys were tech savvy. You can just roll right to the end of the show.
I think we should call Sprint.
And they're in Hawthorne Center. If there is a Hawthorne Center.
No, they're on the streets of Woodfield.
The streets of Woodfield. It's kind of a Thomas Kincaid look. Yeah. Everything's got gas lights. All right. Got people on hold? All right, let me just go. Let's see what happens. Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Do you remember?
Hi, Gary.
Were you listening Friday at 6:55?
Yes, I was.
And what did I end with?
Deacon Blue.
Nope. No.
Ah.
Damn it. Thank you. Hello, who's this?
This is Alan.
Alan, what did I end with on Friday?
Was it the Three Dog Night Shambhala?
Oh.
Oh, no, it's the wrong.
Yeah, wrong song. Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, this is Bill.
Bill, what was the song?
It was the one that, I don't remember the title of it, but it's the one where it goes, the ink is black, the ink is white, together we learn to read and write.
Yeah, that's it, buddy. Three Dog Night, black and white.
Black and white.
Leslie, I did end on Friday with a song, right?
Yeah.
Because she was here, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was there was no song. Trick question. That was Thursday,
that
right?
That was Thursday.
All right. You will win that Samsung 5 phone.
Awesome.
How does that sound?
Love it.
All right.
Love your show, too.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Put him on hold and get the information there, please. Thank you. All right. Hang on.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Could you put him on a hold, please? In the other room there? Thank you. All right. And the other stuff I'll give away throughout the program. If you want to leave it, I will do something similar.
Terrific.
And I appreciate all that stuff. And come back soon and give us more stuff.
Our pleasure. Yes, absolutely.
This is my only marketing right now. It's all hand to mouth. But this is good stuff. This is the way to do it. This is the song I ended with. See that walk to my barber with all the humidity?
Oh, my God.
I got a little nutty.
I couldn't even walk out to my yard on Saturday. You walked 10 miles?
It's only for the strong.
Oh.
Dan, do you have a website?
I don't have a website, but I have my Facebook page. Be happy to provide a link to it.
Okay.
I'm in mobile technology and be happy to answer listeners' questions. And, again, would love to repeat this to keep listeners listening.
Good. And Eddie Volterra is the manager of the Verizon store in Woodfield.
Yes, we'd love to see you guys. Come in and ask about the Roadster or whatever else you need. We'll take good care of you.
And we'll show you his watch. And when his mother calls, he can just go, I'm busy.
Not now, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Leslie's going to sit right down and do her stuff because she's on a time crunch. But this is really that FM transmitter. My day is made now when I can see something that simple.
The door, it turns on.
Hey, look! I sat down and somebody gave me a phone.
Hey, now.
Oh.
I think that the one that turns on when you shut the door is another thing.
Oh.
I think the FM transmitter is. Yeah, that was the.
Oh, I thought that
that's
was the
Motorola Roadster 2 Universal Bluetooth in-car speakerphone, retail packaging, silver.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No wonder why it chips right off the tongue.
That's a little more. That's a little more than $8.
Trip being the operative word.
It stumbled.
The FM transmitter has no name on it when you get it. It's just FM transmitter.
Well, it's from Ukraine. So
this is FM transmitter.
It's FM.
It works. That's all I care about. And for around $8,
man,
can't buy anything better than that right now.
Future. It's the future.
And I got a text right at the beginning of the show. I'm scrolling back to get it because we talked about the, what is it called, the snake hose? What's that hose called?
Well, that's the one with that, it just sits there and then you put the water in it and it inflates.
The collapsible one.
Yeah.
And you said that it only lasts about 2 shoots.
Well, I had a DAP one. That was the one that I had. I didn't have the snake. I guess there is one on TV called the snake. I had the DAP.
All right. Well, but I got a text about how you can prolong
the life
of this hose.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't use it.
I'm out of
keep it in the box.
Because I'm like out of $50 because they were 25 a piece, and I bought 4, and 2 of them broke within 10 minutes.
Yeah. There's a like I said, I got to scroll back because it was at the beginning. Unfortunately, we don't have the capability to print out text like we did downstairs. I don't know if that will ever happen, but we don't. And so when I see something, I try to remember where it was and go back.
Because the thing is about that hose, too, it worked. It was really cool.
It's beautiful, if nothing else. It's really nice
and it
to
works
have
great,
in the backyard.
And it's so light. You put it. You just carry it. It's nothing. It's
by
really.
By the way, you mentioned skirmish over the weekend, Leslie. The last time.
Skirmish, melee. Yeah.
I heard about that is I had to pay $15 to see a war reenactment where there was a skirmish, a Donnybrook. A fisticuff.
I saw a spat at Gettysburg.
At Gettysburg.
Different pricing
but
for
they're having skirmishes right here now. Right.
And
is,
they're free.
So yeah,
it's free.
So that was free, the skirmish?
Well, unless you happen to be one of the, I think it's 5 people who were arrested.
Did you mention the fun and violent weekend we had?
I did.
Yeah, fun and violent. That's a good way to describe this city. It's one or the other.
Well, because it was all about the cleanup effort, and one was after Taste of Chicago, fun, and then the melee, violent. Did you see the amount of crap that those people left behind?
To be honest with you, I didn't even know that happened.
At the skirmish.
Oh, the skirmish was unbelievable.
Where was this? What happened?
Montrose Harbor. It was an unauthorized concert that was spread via the interwebs. And hundreds of people showed up. Police started, I guess a couple of the people who attended started a sub-skirmish. So police were brought in to break up that. Not to cancel the concert, but to break up this fight that happened at the concert. And that's when all hell broke loose. And then they started throwing rocks and bottles at the police. And there was garbage
everywhere.
And they had, seriously, it looked like people had been camping there for about 5 days. Yeah. It was insane.
Well, the knucklehead factor is high this summer.
Well, and on top of that was the fact that the police waited until they started skirmishing among themselves to cancel this thing. It had no permits. It had no license.
Yeah.
And
they were going to let that go.
Let that go.
Acted civil.
So it makes you feel like a real jamoke when you stand in line to get a permit and you pay all that money for whatever you want to do and you have no intention of starting skirmishes, melees.
That's what I say about
fisticuffs.
Illegal immigration. What about the people that came in and took the test and everything? Are they idiots?
They feel...
I don't understand.
Right. Yeah.
So if it gets to the point where people don't want to follow the rules, we'll just skip the rules.
Well, it's all fungible. It's all capricious.
And that photographer you mentioned in the first newscast.
This poor guy was standing at a bus stop.
I did have some facts right when I mentioned to you that Will Lewis escaped poverty in Guatemala when he was adopted at age 7. Loving parents raised him in Wisconsin where he found his 2 passions, photography and the woman who would become his wife. And then he gets shot at a bus stop at 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
and
they had just recently moved to Rogers Park.
He just moved to Rogers Park, like 2 weeks ago.
They think he was not the intended target. That's
well, that is always
amazing.
That's always comforting to hear that, it's just that they had the wrong target. And I don't understand how that's supposed to make you feel better, certainly his family.
And the alderman who saw it happen, he said that he saw the kid, and he said the kid looked like he was 15 or 16.
Sure.
Well, so that's, I think what happened here is the person that they have arrested is an adult male who handed the gun to a kid to do the shooting.
And, okay, it's beyond stupid.
Yeah.
And this deal with the unauthorized concert, here's what I would do. Since this is getting some traction, I would release about a dozen bulls right into the crowd.
They were in town.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Take them right from Cicero and bring them over to Montrose.
That was so lame, the way that looked.
Really?
The bulls weren't even running at the people. The people were on the side. They could see that the people were afraid. So they were on the side, and the bulls were running in the middle. And every so
and
often,
then somebody would run out alongside one
right.
and then run back
but
along
But it wasn't
the
like in the streets there where you can't move and those bulls are right on you. These were people that were just sort of like pretending to be brave.
What about the tomato throwing? How did that go?
I didn't see that. I just saw the
Or
bull.
Is that a different day?
No, it was
the same
part
day.
Of the event.
Yeah, that was such, And the people that were there, it looked like it was a scary crowd. The few that I saw that were on the news.
Scary crowd?
Yeah, it just looked like a scary crowd.
But what, to you, is a scary
crowd? Well, I mean, just, you know, the guys with the shaved heads going, yeah! Yeah!
I would imagine they were probably on Red Bull for this. So it's a whole bull theme.
And the best they had these two middle-aged women from Munster, Indiana. And they were going, I don't even know why I did that.
Now.
And they had those little bullfighter hats on. Those
they
little
did?
Black, yeah.
That looked like Mouseketeer hats.
Oh, and everybody was wearing, like, you know, the red bandanas.
Sure, just like in Spain.
But it was so silly because they all were running alongside. You could see that they were not running in front. These bulls were running.
They had about a dozen, 15 bulls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going out there.
But the people weren't running in front of them because they were like, hey, there's a bull running. Why am I going to get in front of this thing?
By the way, I thought of you yesterday morning. We went out to breakfast. A woman in the next booth, we heard nothing else until... Thanks, Dow.
Hi, Dow.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Dow.
Ever met Carrie Fisher?
Hi, Dow.
With an electronic cigarette? All right, here's that hose story. Listening to the podcast from Friday, tell Bibble the deal with those pocket hoses is that you can get them to last a long time, but you have to empty the hose each time you're finished with it, and you can't leave the hose. All right, just skipped here.
Oops.
It's like the broadcast.
That's the
Leave the hose in the sun.
Oh.
If you do either of those two things, it will quickly rot from the inside out. I killed my first one within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then did some research online. The next hose from last year is still going strong.
Well, but that's the whole idea.
What's the whole idea?
Well, the reason I wanted to get the lighter hose is because we've got this, a thing that you hang a hose on, right? You know, like I don't know what you even call that, a hose holder? You know, like a thing
holder.
All right, so when we first got it, you know, it's this nice one that my wife found. It's like the shape of a leaf or something. It's heavy. It's really heavy. It's made of steel or something. So we drilled it into the brick of the house in the back, but we drilled it into the mortar part, not the brick, because we didn't have a drill that would be enough. Mm-hmm. So now with time... The mortar has sort of, you know,
chipped away,
so now this thing comes out.
There goes the resale value.
Right. So now I said, well, geez, this, you know, this hose is heavy because I have a long hose. So I said, well, this thing has kind of fallen out, but if we get this light hose, no problem. Because when it hangs on it, it weighs an ounce. So I have to keep it outside. That's the whole point.
Can you keep it out of the sun?
Well, no.
Can you build a little awning for it?
I have to build an awning now.
Now you drill the awning into there. Your house is going to be worth crap. Bupkis.
Bupkis.
Speaking of hanging things, yesterday I was at my mother's to do some yard work, and I, for a gift, I had some blueprints of something she had done at the house framed, and they turned out really nicely.
And? So I hear something in your voice.
So first of all, I brought it over months ago, and when I would walk into the house, she had it facing the wall, the glass front facing the wall, and I said, why?
So you saw the string on the back.
Right. Until I hang this, why do you? Because I don't want anybody to come and fall into it.
Oh, hit the glass.
And I thought, unless, I don't know who that's going to be, unless you're on a binge. So finally, I couldn't take it anymore, so I got to hang it. So I got those things where you stick them on the wall, those hooks.
Right.
And then you can just pull the adhesive right off, they say.
Yeah.
So I got two of them, and I thought, and they say, hold them for 90 seconds or whatever, which I did.
Oh, no.
And then wait an hour. I left, and I told her, in an hour, you can hang this. So I called,
and it fell.
And she goes, I hung it, but I held on to it, and it pulled them right off.
Oh.
Aren't those things, and it's not that heavy. This thing's maybe, I don't know,
especially
6 pounds.
With two of them, it should offset. It should offset the weight.
Why didn't it hold?
I don't know.
I know they said, the only step I skipped was isopropyl alcohol to clean the wall, but I thought that
How dirty is that?
That's what I thought.
So it came off?
I guess it didn't hold, so I got to go back with the hooks.
Yeah, go back with
the hooks. Of course, she's going, when I was doing that, she goes, you got to get those toggles where it opens inside the wall. Find this stud. And I go, no, this will hold.
Well, so, what about just a regular hook with a hammer? And
that's
hammer.
What I'm going to go to. But they were there. I thought I'd use those. I felt so good about, this is going to work. Gail?
Hey, Gary, you know those jerks or whatever you want to call them who messed up the park?
Mm-hmm.
Their punishment should be out there picking every piece up.
Yeah.
Humiliate them to the hills. Don't fine them. Don't put them in jail. Make them clean up the mess they made.
I agree.
Thank you. I'm glad you do.
I have no problem with that. How many were arrested? Did they say?
I don't even know. There was it was a huge. It took them 90 minutes to stop the fight. This was a big deal.
Yeah.
So who knows if anybody,
But this whole attitude of, we'll just start throwing rocks and stones and things, and that's what we'll do, which has no brain cell capacity working.
Well, this whole idea of, we'll just throw a concert in the park, just because we can do it on the internet. I mean, you can't just set up shop. I mean, there's rules.
Hey, the rules are off.
I guess.
The only place where rules don't apply, internet radio.
Right here.
Everything else
has
rules. 312-521-8600. As I was scrolling to find that hose text, I saw this. One of your biggest fans been listening to you instead of Tony and Tina since the switch. But please don't mock King John. This thing's... Is there a way to stop the thing from scrolling, the text? I know I had that icon on the one downstairs. Is there one up here? Because when I'm reading something, it skips. And then I got to go find it again. But there was a hold icon down there.
Oh.
I got to find this again.
But so basically it said, don't make fun of John Williams.
I think it was heading that way.
Yeah, because he's King John. So.
Well, anybody called himself King. Yeah. I got to find this, because now I'm, where the hell is it? Come on. Work across the street from WGN, went to Walgreens to get the Lincoln doll. That's from Friday.
That was Friday.
You never went out and got one of those?
Well, no, my wife went by the Walgreens by our house, but I would assume it would only be the one down here, because that's a tourist attraction. Why would they have, I wouldn't expect all Walgreens to have them. I would expect the one downtown, since it's a tourist-heavy area.
Bibble, I'll check my Walgreens. I'll have to send you the photo of our Notre Dame knit football doll sometime.
Yeah, because my wife was listening, and so she, on the way home, she stopped at the Walgreens by our house, but they didn't have one.
Aaron, can you come in here and show me if there's a hold for the text so I don't have to do this every time when I'm reading something? There was a hold icon.
What happens? It's in the little box, and then it pops
out of
the box?
Well, when people are texting, it shoves that one, and I'm in the middle of reading something. Is there a hold on?
There's not.
Can we get one on there? Because I had it downstairs.
I can print some for you.
You can print?
Yeah, which ones do you want?
Well, here it is. Okay, I can't hold this right here, can you? All right. Let me get to the front of this. Okay, don't mock King John. He's truly a nice guy who was on WGN a full 10 years before you started. And I acknowledge that pulling him back on WGN was probably a sop to fans upset about the schedule change. But if you mock King John, it will hurt my fandom of your show. And that means you too, Bibble.
Oh.
I like when they go, I know it's probably some token gesture for healing over there, but don't do that. Don't.
But I always say you always make fun of those that you
exactly
that you respect.
Yeah, they, totally.
No, I always tell people that. If I don't make fun of you,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, because
oh, yeah.
No, because
oh.
I'm not paying attention to you then. The only way that I could make fun of you is if I'm observing you. And if I'm observing you, that means I'm paying attention to you. So if I don't make fun of you, then you're not hey, on my radar screen.
You don't have to apologize if you have some kind of cruelty to you. You're not going to be one of those guys, and I probably won't either, where at your funeral they go, he never had a bad thing to say about anybody. Are you kidding me?
That's all he had
to
say.
You can't be in this business unless you do.
Mine's going to be he didn't have a good thing to say about anybody.
Yeah, that is pretty true.
But that's what makes it interesting.
It really is.
Because every time you hear Tom say, oh, he's a lovely man, don't you just go, oh, come on, Tom. Not, yeah, not everybody's lovely.
You have to have some anger about somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right, but you have some anger.
But my point is the fact that I listen to John Williams and listen to the...
you don't
to
have
the,
to...
No, no, but I'm just explaining that the fact that I listen to that segment and know what it's about, that's how you can make fun of something. If you're...
Listen, it's probably mean-spirited. Just cop to it.
It's not though. It's mean spirited. But,
yeah,
but it's in the form of a compliment. It's a mean spirited.
I don't
compliment.
Care if somebody on another station makes holy hell fun of me.
Yeah.
Because
hey, go ahead.
That's all part of it. If you
put yourself out here,
that's it.
You open yourself up.
Do
to
it.
That. So
Aaron, what happened to Keith? Okay. In the musical chairs of producers. Aaron is the
associate
producer. And she started right as I started the .fm show. And she is the daughter of a good friend of mine. And she wanted to do an internship, but they had just tacked all of those. But I said, well, if she wants to come in and shadow, she's willing to do that.
A lot of shadows.
Do that.
Little did you know you'd have another
And she
shadow.
Came in just at the right time because we really needed some extra hands on deck with all this changeover. And she's been great. And then this Keith Craig thing, that's still in some kind of motion. Whatever that motion is, I don't know yet.
Well, I haven't seen Craig up here, so I know.
Craig is gone for the day because he's got some personal time for today.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got to handle some stuff. Oh. Nothing bad. It's just. And 312-521-8600. Yeah. Aaron, if you can print out some text, that would be great, because I really missed that feature from downstairs.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't they let you? That doesn't make any sense. Just print it from the screen, I would say.
I said that the first day, and there was some talk about how that's not possible here, but they said they wouldn't be able to tell people that they're going to get a received your text message, and they have that now.
Come on, it's 2014. You can do anything you want. Except to have a concert at Montrose Beach.
Gary, I know you have a thing about feet. I have seen some of the ugliest feet I've ever seen this summer. Sorry to say, one was on a man in a waiting room in an oncologist's office. Well, that's a pass. You got to give that person a pass.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't care.
And let's see. All right.
So if we lived in a cold climate year-round, would we have the same problems we're having now with all this crime and everything then?
Probably no, not as much. By cold climate, do you mean...
I'm just saying, like in the 30s and 40s.
That never got above 40.
Right.
Probably not.
So you're always Mr. Winter. You're Mr. Summer here. Look what you're imposing on us.
I think the average ne'er-do-well, stunad, stugatz, strunts, mamaluke, ditch rat, that I cover them all?
Jamoke.
They somehow are in better shape to kill and do their stuff when it's warm out. When it's cold, they want to stay indoors and just watch TV and drink soda.
Do you find that you have your temper is more, combustible when it's hot out?
I find I'm more mellow because it kind of drains me a little bit, but I like that. So I'm kind of, like I said, on that 10-mile walk on Saturday.
Jeez.
Usually I have a nice brisk pace,
right.
But I just felt myself slowing down a little.
It was muggy.
It was.
It was very
but I wanted to complete the task.
Because I saw a story that this had nothing to do with gangs, but there was a murder somewhere, and it was they got in an argument, the guy left, and that's always the story. There's an argument about something, somebody leaves.
Comes back.
And somehow they find a gun, and then they come back and they shoot somebody. And I'm like, I don't ever get that mad at anybody.
Think about how you have to be wired. And I'm not talking about you're in your house, somebody's breaking in.
No, no.
You have a gun.
This
I understand
is an argument.
How
yeah.
that would get you going to where you could shoot somebody. I don't understand where you have an argument with somebody, and the next thought is, I'm going to come back and kill this person.
That's what I mean. Does your temper escalate that
I'm not
fast?
Even,
that
I'm not,
far?
I'm not even killing bugs in the house anymore. I'm taking them out. Because I just, as you get older, you realize how life is so fragile and short that I don't want to take anybody's life.
Escorting the little ant right,
right
outside the door.
Come on out. Come on, buddy.
Come on.
I don't know how people can do that. How crazy wired are you?
I mean, this gang stuff makes absolutely no sense. That's their culture. That's their mindset. But this was, they got into an argument, and it wasn't about a big thing. It was some stupid little
sure
thing.
Sure it is. But this is how it seems the whole society in this city is going, and it's probably elsewhere too, but I don't know what's going on there. And it's this whole deal about driving like you're on crystal meth on the expressways. Every time you're on the expressway now, if there's not bumper-to-bumper traffic, you're going to see about four or five idiots driving like complete morons, going about 90, weaving in and out, riding your ass, even if you're in the middle or right lane. They're crazy, and this is all part of that. I don't know what the hell's wrong with them, but they're crazy.
Could you even, like, oh, let's say you got real mad because somebody put a can of Coke on your car. You know,
now that's one of the incidents.
Yeah, yeah, but it wasn't the one I'm talking about. But still, and you got that mad. Would you even know where to go to get a gun? I don't even know where are they going? They're always leaving and they're coming back. Where are they going that fast?
It's in their car or their.
I mean,
it's close by.
I guess
outside of a gun shop, no, no.
I mean, it is. It's such a different mindset, and I don't even know. It doesn't even calculate. I mean. You know what? Then just don't talk to that person. Leave the house. You left. Why are you coming back?
Just go chill.
Yeah.
Let it all, because we all get crazy mad.
Right.
The best thing to do is walk away, let it calm down.
Maybe that's probably why, you know, in cold climate places, they don't have these problems. Because we don't have this kind of problem in the winter.
No, you don't want to go out and get the salt stains on your gun. And the gun, I think, doesn't operate as well when it's cold out like your car battery. So they wait. They hold it until summer.
You can't do a drive-by on your bike.
Well, here, it's obvious. People don't congregate outside in the way they do during the summer. And that's why you had this ad hoc party concert the other day. And you're not going to see that when it's 10 above. Nobody's al frescoing as much. 312-521-8600. The mocking comes across as petty and bitter. I notice you don't mock Cochran, but please don't, or else you'll probably lose even more resources. I'm pretty sure Craig is going to Cochran's pal Patty. In her defense, she had Craig first, albeit only on Sunday nights.
Wow.
That's your inside radio memo.
Like I said, I
petty
listen.
And bitter used to do mornings.
Yeah.
And
Frank Petty,
that was one of the
Sammy Bitter
funniest shows I have ever heard. Craig was not with Patty full time before he was doing her weekend show.
It's a weekend.
But back in the fall, when Stephanie left, kind of quickly, because she just had this deal where she was working till 8 o'clock at night, getting home at 8 o'clock, and she has a 2-year-old.
Yeah, but that doesn't really fly.
What's that?
Because that's what she's doing.
That's what you're doing now.
Yeah, so that doesn't.
But
really
at the time, she wanted to try to make that a little easier for her schedule, which I thought, oh, that makes sense, fine. And then they said to me, can you think of somebody else you'd like to have as your producer? And I remembered Craig had filled in, and I said, is he available? And they said, yeah. So that's why I picked Craig. But it isn't fun unless you know you might be stepping on the wrong toes.
That's
right?
What comedy is.
That's what it's
what
all
is
about.
Comedy?
To know that every day you're on the thinnest of ice.
Hey,
the adrenaline.
What did Steve Sanders say to Tom Skilling
right.
35 years ago when you guys were making fun of
him? He said, I wish somebody would make fun of me.
All I know is if we're making a little joke with John Williams' Bright Side, then people will hear the real Bright Side and go,
that's what it is.
So you sort of actually make somebody listen to John Williams and go, well, what were they making fun of?
Well, isn't that how you met Tom Skilling? It started as some friendly teasing.
And then we decided it's time to meet Tom Skilling, and then he became part of our stage show. We brought him out a few times, and then that's how I developed my friendship with him 25, 30 years ago. It starts off on maybe what some people might consider an abrasive note, but look at now, it's great.
But like I said, I always think that if you're not paying attention to something, then you can't make fun of it. And if you're paying attention to something, that means you like it. That's the way I view it. So I always tell people, hey, if I'm making fun of you, you're one of my best friends. Because I'm paying attention to it.
That's not how I do it, but go ahead.
that's what your MO is.
Mine is different.
Well, they seem to buy that.
Really? Talk about CYA.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we got turf here. That's our turf, and that's not my turf anymore.
That's right. I mean, it really isn't.
It's not.
I mean, it really isn't.
It's not.
I mean, it
really is not.
I mean, even though we're in the same building, and then we're right down the hall from all of those people. But we're really not.
No, this is a separate deal. This is, Brandmeier is straddling.
And you never see him.
No, so the FM and this.
Yeah.
And you got David Hochberg, you got Ken Rakowski, Rockstar. And some other things on here. It's still being assembled. But this is the deal.
Yeah.
And
plus, John Williams isn't listening.
No, he doesn't care about this. Somebody tells him he'll probably be third hand and he'll hear it wrong.
Right.
What's he going to do? He's not even around here.
Yeah, what's he going to do? Come over from
Minnesota? Come storming down the hall? He can't even do that.
He's live, but he ain't local.
Oh, you're petty and bitter.
Hey, I was actually, you know what? I was reading somewhere. They don't use that anymore.
Petty and bitter?
Yeah, no, live and local. I heard they don't use that anymore.
They don't?
No.
All
right. That's I saw that on one of those boards.
Yeah. That's why you need to get sleep at night. You can't sleep. You've seen Silver's episode that plays at 2 in the morning.
Oh, Doberman was hilarious this weekend.
What is it?
Doberman is one of the characters on the Phil Silver show.
And that's out at 2 in the morning?
3.
Yeah.
Doesn't it ever creep you out to look at a show like that and know that all of those people are dead?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was watching The Honeymooners.
So why do you do it?
You don't like anything old. She always gets mad when you reference, not you, I'm just saying in general. If you reference anything that's from 1960, she gets all upset.
Well, not to mention that for a lot of our listeners, it's a reference they don't get.
Of course they do. Everybody knows
the The only reference they need to get is the fact that this man, for some reason, can't sleep.
Well, that is
a fact. Because he's watching television from... Well, when he gets home until 3, and then he sleeps.
Then I fall asleep
for about 45 minutes.
Yeah, about 6:30, and then I.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. And the reason you can't sleep is
I don't know. I was sleeping. I was actually for a while. I was sleeping for the first time. I was actually sleeping almost through the night for about 2 months, and then we got put on the stream, and I start waking up again.
Thinking of all the
I've been having some
bitterness.
Weird dreams since we went on the stream.
All
I gotta
the pettiness
tell you.
And bitterness.
Really funny is from like February until May when we were dispatched, there was like such a new serenity. I mean, the show was really, there was just like a, there was like a cool thing going on. And all of a sudden I noticed that I was sleeping well. I was like, wow, this is...
What months were those?
That was like February through May.
Hmm.
And then all of a sudden now...
Somebody said, hey, he's sleeping too well.
And now 3 o'clock, I'm back up again.
Have you ever taken product?
No, I've never done that. I don't want to...
You don't want to get up and make a salt sandwich in the middle of the night?
He should make one and that would let him sleep.
I did take Ambien one time when we flew to Australia, because that's like a 15-hour flight
Dennis Miller tells a funny story about doing that and waking up to his kid, his 15-year-old kid, going, "Dad, Dad, stop it." And he realized he had no shirt on, and apparently he was starting to vocalize.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, maybe it's not so good to take those things
out
of
place. No, I don't want to get started on being dependent on any kind of drug like
that. Oh, heck, this is the time to do it.
you're in your sunset years. Back nine.
You'll get that euphoria back.
What are you, 49?
50.
You're 50. Oh, right. Yeah. You made it to 50.
Made it.
You can start drinking now.
I don't know how much of an Ambien I took. I don't know how many you're supposed to take.
is six too many?
No, because it didn't really work
for me.
His
wife kept trying to give him more.
Yeah, it didn't really. I mean, I fell asleep, but it wasn't a deep sleep, you know, when on the plane with that. So I was pretty much up for the most of that flight anyway.
Here, honey, take another and another. Cocktail.
I don't know. I don't take any. I haven't. I've rarely taken any kind of pills of any kind, really.
Why are you in this business?
I'm never sick.
Really, he's an anomaly.
You are a disgrace to this business. You don't make fun out of bitterness and anger. You don't take pills.
I don't take pills. I'm not an alcoholic.
What are you doing?
I mean, I don't
know. You don't golf?
I do golf. I just
you do?
Oh, yeah. I used to golf every week for about 10 years. I told you I'm a pretty good golfer.
Oh, please. You told me you're good at everything. I'm not going to believe it.
Well, I've always been athletic, so I like golf.
What do those two things have to do with each other?
With golf?
Athleticism and golf.
No, it's just that I was going with my uncle who was like 70, and I was just getting tired because so his whole foursome was all these old guys. And so then their big thing, they just wanted to get to the breakfast afterward. They didn't even care about the golf.
But they would listen to your stories about Phil Silver.
Yeah, that's who I bonded with. But I mean, so it was cool. But after a while, I mean, you're hanging around with 70-year-old guys.
Mm-hmm.
So
and you're at that point,
I was in my 30s. You know, so I was like, and then because I don't know why my friends didn't want to golf with me.
Well,
plus it's expensive. My God.
Well, it depends on where you go.
Yeah.
But so, who's got 5 hours every Saturday?
Well, that was the thing, too. I did feel bad because I would go in like six and seven, five.
At least your wife could turn the air conditioning on while you were gone.
But I felt bad because then I don't care if you even have a cart. It's a long day. And in the summer, it's warm. And when you come home after 4 or 5 hours of golf, the whole experience of leaving the house and getting there and whatever it is, you're dead. You don't want to do anything. And now it's Sunday.
Changing into different shoes and
no.
Sorting your tees out. That's a day.
You know, then you come home and then your wife is like, you're like, so what do you want to do? And you're like, oh, I'm dead. So I felt bad.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. And for that, you let her turn the air on, what, a couple hours?
We didn't have it. Well, I think Saturday she had to turn it on because it was muggy.
And how much yelling was it?
I mean, what am I going to do? It's 90.
All right, honey, set it at 82.
But I still
only this time.
But I sneak up in the
middle
of the
watching.
Night.
I'll be watching.
But I sneak up in the middle of the night and I turn it off.
Attaboy.
So she doesn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Until she wakes up in a puddle.
that's my point. You're sleeping. How do you
that's
know?
That's when you need it the most
temperate.
Because
your neck is all sweaty
you
when you wake up.
But you don't know that.
Yeah, you do. You wake
no,
up because it's all, ooh.
No, you
don't. 312-521-8600, and it's Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's going on today?
I got
a theory about why Bob of a Bibble doesn't sleep, you know. He's too worried about his wife trying to kill him in his sleep.
That's
so
probably true.
He's worried, but... Yeah, why don't you drink some Maker's Mark there, Baba, and you know, you'll crash out just fine.
Yeah, I don't want to become an alcoholic.
Well, yeah.
Why?
It can only help you at this point. Like, exactly, Gary, I'm wholeheartedly with you here. He should become addicted to drugs at this point and an alcoholic at 50, you know?
That's when you do it, because, again, it's just another few years and it's over.
Well, when do you start doing that? Like, when do you start, like, to sort of give up? Like it's 70.
Everybody has their particular age. Some people it's 15. Some people 20.
I mean, but is there a point where you go, you know what? I'm gonna do whatever I want. Like when you're 75, do you do that, or do you do that when you're 70? I mean, do you just say who cares, or do you always worry?
Gary's giving you a wide open thing here.
You pick. I think you're at that point now. You've done everything. You've peaked, and now it's just a matter of getting into John Barleycorn.
Could the listeners spread malicious rumors about other people on WGN AM over there?
All right, Bob. Hey, Bob, did Craig's get a hold of you about a thing?
No.
All right. I might need you to do me a favor.
Okay.
All right. All right. And Craig will explain it to you.
All right. Is he there today?
He had to leave early today, but tomorrow he'll get a hold of you, okay?
Hey, but Gary, I heard that potentially that Wendy from the Bill and Wendy show.
All right, Bob, we'll handle the petty and bitter, okay? Craig will call you tomorrow, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, thank you. Yeah, let us handle that.
Yeah, it should be always only be done in the hands of a professional.
And I had Jim Ramsey, who was filling in for Tom this week, read another I Love Chicago script, and I got an email, and I knew this would happen. Do you know what the word nonplussed means?
That means that you are plussed, right?
Don't use the same word to define it.
Well, what's that means that you, if you're nonplussed, I think that means that you are irritated.
You're puzzled.
Right.
You're confused.
If you're nonplussed.
Right. I think a lot of people think because it's nonplussed that it means that you're not that.
No, if you're nonplussed, you are irritated.
I used it in the right way in the script. The script reads as follows. You and your spouse are nonplussed because the rain stopped around noon and the sky appears to be clearing, meaning they were confused as to why Taste of Chicago was canceled on Saturday. And this email says, just an FYI, nonplussed means confused or perplexed. Okay.
Right.
And that's how I used it.
Exactly.
I get the impression that they think that it was used wrong.
No, you said it.
No, that's right.
Because you can't be plussed, can you?
You might be, but that's not how it's used here. Keith, do you have that Jim Ramsey read edited and ready to go in its entirety?
I will shortly.
Yeah, that's the fancy way of saying no.
No. Not yet.
Keith doesn't know his position yet, so he's not going to play ball with me.
I don't blame him.
He's not playing ball. Can you edit that? And I want to play it as soon as it's ready. That was the latest from the Jim Ramsey factory.
Yeah, but I mean that the way I don't understand what that person was saying to you.
I don't either, because it was used in the right way.
Yeah.
But I always hear that when I've used that word. A few people go, you know, you didn't use that right. No, I think you're not knowing the definition properly.
Because you would think that you would probably think that nonplussed means that you were not irritated.
Yeah.
But nonplussed means you are irritated or bothered, whatever you want to.
It's like the word, what was it? Just slipped my mind.
Resilient.
Resilient?
No, resilient.
Wait, did you say, that might be a word, Brazilian.
Resilient.
That is Brazilian. That means it's shaved so close that it's beautiful. It's Brazilian.
It's Brazilian. Oh, that would be a good name for like a wax.
Spendthrift.
Yeah, what about that?
What's the definition?
A spendthrift is somebody that spends a lot of money. Right?
I think it's frugal.
Oh, because thrift.
Yeah.
Oh, spendthrift. Really?
Look up spendthrift and confirm. That's another one that...
So how would you use that in a sentence? You're a spendthrift?
Because you don't...
Because you don't spend.
Don't buy a lot of expensive
stuff. Because you don't spend.
You don't buy a lot of stuff.
That's, yeah. Okay, that's right, yeah.
Maybe Bibble can't sleep because it's too damn hot in his house. That could be.
That is probably a good point. Man, I had that fan on me all last night, right in my face.
And when did he leave? Because that is not right. You should just buy a fan.
Instead of having to have one come over every
day. Yeah, and do that.
Oh. And those fans, when there's a certain amount of humidity in the house, it doesn't really work.
Okay, there were two odd stories over the weekend that caught my ear.
Oh. Oh. Did you hurt yourself? What was it?
No.
That thought?
That was nothing.
Okay.
A Sacramento man is under arrest, accused of starting a 3,700-acre wildfire in Shasta County. His name? Have you heard the story?
No.
Freddie Alexander Smoke.
Oh, no.
I swear to God.
He was born.
Smoke was trying to deliver soil to an illegal marijuana grow site when part of his rental truck's exhaust hit dry grass and sparked the bully fire.
How great is that?
His name is Freddie Alexander Smoke.
Freddie Smoke.
Name theory.
Oh,
certain names will forecast what happens to you or what you'll end up doing.
He should have known.
Spendthrift. Is someone who spends money prodigiously and who is extravagant and
See?
Recklessly wasteful.
That's what I said.
See, that's what I mean. That's why these words can trick you.
That's what I said. A spendthrift is you spend a lot.
See, that's when the thrift was in there, I always got that wrong.
Right.
Because I heard thrift, spendthrift, meaning they're thrifty in how they spend.
No, you're a spendthrift means you spend a lot.
You're extravagant.
Yeah. But you actually talked me into thinking that it was.
Well, see, that's why I brought it up.
but that makes sense in the nonplussed thing, because spendthrift, you would think,
mm-hmm.
means that you're spending thrift.
Then get nonplussed. You think, well, non is in there, so they're not puzzled.
Well, I mean, is there something? We always hear about antibiotics, right? Is there a probiotic?
Yeah.
There
oh,
is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Because I always hear anti. I never heard anything about pro.
Yeah, there's probiotics.
Oh, okay. Are those good?
I don't know.
Because antibiotics seem to be good.
The word derives from an obsolete sense of the word thrift to mean prosperity rather than frugality.
Wow.
So that a spendthrift is one who has spent their prosperity.
So then how does that work? Because thrift, you go to a thrift
shop. Yeah. See, that's why I got goofed up.
So has thrift changed in its definition, then, it sounds like? Because if you're thrifty.
This derives from an obsolete sense of the word thrift.
Yeah.
That's obsolete. That's
yeah.
why.
Because you always hear he's thrifty.
And then this story, a volunteer at a Wisconsin railroad museum has died after slipping under a moving train. The woman was a volunteer employee at the Mid-Continent Railway Museum in North Freedom. She was stepping off a train when she slipped under it as it began to move.
Oh, my
What are the chances of that?
Jeez. You'd think she'd know how to...
Well, no, it's at the museum.
Right.
I mean, it's a museum. There's
right.
nothing moving there.
Yeah.
I assume maybe a little...
But she's around trains.
Hobby trains, but... that,
oh, that's kind of a train.
Yeah, but I mean,
train
model
said.
Trains.
Oh,
but,
all right.
But what are the chances, really? So you got Freddie Alexander Smoke starting a 3,700-acre fire.
I like how you always, every time you've mentioned it, you've mentioned all three names.
That's and
Freddie Alexander.
Wait a minute,
Smoke.
It's Freddie Alexander Smoke the third.
The third.
I forgot to mention that.
Well, there's a junior. And a first.
What are the chances of this? He's delivering soil to an illegal marijuana grow site when part of his rental truck's exhaust hit dry grass and sparked the bully fire. Didn't that happen in The Sopranos?
That was with wasn't that the catalytic converter or something
yeah.
underneath their truck?
On the leaves.
Started on fire under the leaves,
and
yeah.
Wasn't it the kid?
Yeah, yeah, it was AJ, yeah.
And wasn't he with his girlfriend?
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Yep.
Be
there
careful.
So there's a Sammy, or what, Alexander Smoke?
Freddie Alexander Smoke the third.
Freddie Jr. is embarrassed of his son.
So you saw a video of this running with the bulls in Cicero.
Yes.
And they had 4,000 runners. I guess it wasn't the turnout they had hoped for.
It looks really silly.
There were six runs. Schedule is 600 to 800 people running each time. The bulls, weighing as much as 1,500 pounds each, were released 12 to 20 at a time.
But it looked so silly because... You could see, you know, there was room enough. The thing that makes the running of the bulls so dangerous is there's nowhere for you to go in that little narrow street. You're there.
Wasn't it on the track?
Well, it was on the track, but they had fences there. And so, like I said before, people just went off to the side. So as the bulls were just running in the middle, and it was almost like a bull parade. Because there was people on each side, and the bulls ran in the middle. And every so often, you just see people, like, running on the side of them.
And they paid $75 to do that.
I guess.
And one of the sharks, Mark Cuban?
I think Mark Cuban
was involved in that.
I think, I'm pretty sure, because they showed the CEO of this company that puts the event on, and he looked familiar. And I believe that it was Mark Cuban who invested in this, because it's basically an event company. You know what I mean? They put on these events. Now, I think that this is one of the events that they do. So this isn't, I don't know if this is their complete whole thing. Like, this is all they do is this bull run. I think they do a couple other types.
No, the tomato fight.
Yeah. No, but I think they even do a whole different kind of thing, too. But it just, to me, that was, and that, what'd you say? I think on Friday, didn't you say it was $75 or $55?
I thought it was $75.
Yeah, I mean, and then it was pouring rain because it was Saturday.
That's why they canceled the Taste.
They had to cancel the Journey and Steve Miller concert over at the Tidley Park.
They did?
Yeah. I guess the grounds were all flooded.
I didn't quite get the canceling of Taste of Chicago. What was flooded out? Now, I think I saw a text where somebody said a number of the tents might have been surrounded by water. But this, that flood out on the Kennedy a couple of weeks ago, and then on the Eisenhower before that,
right.
Don't we have some kind of truck that has a super sucker to throw that water out like 2 minutes after it starts?
Well, we saw that one where they had that one guy.
Yeah, he was poking around for the sewer.
Looking for the sewer.
That isn't going to do it. For such cases like this and the flooding of the expressways, isn't there a truck that can come out, like I said, and get that taken care of? Lickety-split, so you don't cancel a full day. It's only 5 days. 20% of the whole run was canceled.
And that was one of the bigger concerts. That was Jeff Tweedy. And Lucinda Williams, that was, I mean, you know.
Well, Saturday,
yeah.
You got to figure it was your big day.
I mean, that was one of the major, draws that they've been touting for months.
You would think it's been going on 30-some years. It's always in the middle of summer when thunderstorms are moving in and out. What if we have a situation where we get rain in the morning, there's a lot of water, standing water, how do we get rid of it so we don't have to disrupt the whole day? Now, Jim Ramsey said that they saw on the radar that there was more coming, although it did not come at all.
Well, you know,
if it did, it was just a gentle rain.
I wonder if there's some new liability kind of thing, because, you know, I've never seen this before in baseball either. Over the last several years, we've seen them canceling games before it even rains. And they're like, oh, game tonight's canceled. It hasn't even rained yet. So I don't know if they're worried about a liability now? There's some new liability thing that they're just canceling this stuff before they just say, well, let's see what happens? They don't even want to see what happens anymore. Because, as you said...
Well, because people are so crazy.
It didn't rain anymore, right? Downtown?
No. No, the rest... That's when I did my 10-mile walk to my barber.
What time did you go?
Around noon.
So it was after?
Yeah, the rain had stopped. And like I said, I walked for hours.
So now
no rain.
So you even after that rain, you decided to make the walk.
I waited and I thought, okay, let's see what happens here. And I did it anyway because it stopped raining. And it didn't look like it was, I brought an umbrella.
I was just going to say, did you come
out? I had my umbrella, but didn't have to open it. Okay.
And how many hours did that take?
You
left at noon. What time did you get home?
That depends on, it's about an hour and a half one way.
5 miles?
Yeah, it's about, you know, again, the humidity slowed me down. My pace was off.
Hour and a half? I think that's isn't that still pretty good?
I'm sure it's within a few minutes here and there. But
what did you usually do the Wrigley walk in?
That's about the same thing.
Yeah?
It depends on the other people. We stopped.
Right. Oh, that's right. You guys used to stop.
Get a lottery ticket.
Yeah, right.
Get some drinks.
You didn't stop on this walk by yourself?
No. No, I just kept going.
Do you have any kind of a Walkman situation happening? Or, I mean, an iPod?
No.
So
no, I don't
you
want
just, like, thinking?
Because I don't want to miss if there's a ne'er-do-well on the approach.
Oh, right.
I want to make sure I can hear them clearly and get out of the way. I want to be aware of my surroundings.
So what are you doing? Are you just talking to yourself?
Yeah, talking to myself.
Seriously, though. I mean, come
around.
On, an hour and a half, you got to be talking to yourself.
Talking to myself. Why would I do that?
You're not talking to yourself during a walk like that?
What do you mean talking to yourself?
Well, you're saying, aren't you thinking of things?
Oh, thank you. Of course you're
thinking. You're not talking out loud. But, I mean, aren't you in your head? Aren't you saying, well, then...
Yeah.
Seriously, no?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking, okay. But I'm not talking.
All right. Well, I don't. Well, that's
just crazy. I
don't mean you're talking out loud to yourself. I mean, that would be scary.
That's what you see other people doing, and then you move away from them.
So this had to be about a 4 or 5 hour.
Yeah, pretty. I mean, like I said, I took my time.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
And you weren't, God, you weren't sweated?
Well, that doesn't matter. You gotta.
But I mean, when you walked into the place, you weren't pitted out?
I don't pit very
really?
Badly. Yeah, I try to monetize, or not monetize, if I could monetize pitting. Sharks?
Sharks.
It's arm pitting where you can make money. And the arm pit sweat is transferred into electricity. And I need $150,000.
Because, man, Sunday, yesterday, I went up to Miller Park in Milwaukee, and it was hot there. And when I came home, I just went to the game and came back, and I had, like, a shirt with a T-shirt underneath it, and that T-shirt was...
Oh, you're not a good example. You sweat when
I actually had
49.
Salt stains.
You had salt stains.
You know how you ever see the salt? I actually had salt stains on the T-shirt.
And the roof was open.
Well, it was the weirdest thing.
And
so,
why did you go to Miller Park? I mean, I hear it's a nice. I've never been.
Yeah. Well, my godson is getting married in January, and so I guess his buddies. Because now, I guess you can't have a bachelor party that doesn't last 4 days. I mean, that's the thing now. You have to have multiple days. You have to go somewhere. You travel. So because his wedding's in the winter. His buddies decided that it would be more fun to party in the summer. So they had an early bachelor party, apparently. So they went up there on Friday, and they went through the weekend. And so on Sunday was the baseball game.
That you were invited to.
So I was invited to that. I don't know what they were doing on Friday.
Yeah, Saturday. You weren't invited to any of
that.
And
I wasn't invited to all the fun stuff. I was invited to the game. And then apparently after the game, which I didn't go to, they had they rented out a thing called a pedal bar. And apparently it holds 14 people. I should have gone just to see this thing. It's a bar that you sit around and everybody pedals and it moves down the street and it comes with a bartender who stands in the middle.
What?
I wish I should have gone just to see this thing, but I was like,
this is in Milwaukee.
Yeah. And apparently I guess you do this and you must go down. They must go down some street that is like, it's a pub crawl kind of street. So maybe it's not trafficked or
let me see if I'm getting this
it's
right.
It's called a pub, their pedal bar.
14.
They said there's 14. I should call
14 bikes hooked together?
I don't know if there's bikes or just pedals underneath this thing. You sit down. And then they were reading about it yesterday at the game. And all of a sudden they realized, hey, we have to bring our own beer. And I'm like, well,
you're at a bar.
Yeah, why do you have a bartender? But I guess what you do is you pedal down this thing. So obviously you're bringing attention to yourself, and then you stop at the bars. So you're pedaling.
But how does it? What does it look like? Is it on the internet?
I should look it up.
Because how do you get 14 people?
I don't know how long.
And a bartender.
And a bartender. He stands in the middle apparently, and everybody's drinking at this bar, but you're pedaling. So it's like those pedal cabs.
Yeah.
But I guess this is a bar. Yeah. I don't know how big this thing must be because it's gonna be gone on the street. So it must be on a street somewhere in downtown Milwaukee that they must either cut the traffic off or they must put it off on the side.
I just need to see how this thing is put together.
So I didn't go to the pedal bar because that was after the game. And
plus,
then they
imagine you pedaling in that heat.
I know.
Like a fountain.
Oh, my God. Like I said, it was. But the cool thing about the roof was, okay, so now it was really warm. It was a beautiful day, very warm there. So all of a sudden, one cloud came by, and it wasn't a dark, overly dark cloud, but one cloud came by, and it sort of hovered over the thing, and all of a sudden we looked up, and they're closing the...
I think it's activated by the sky. They don't do anything. If a cloud comes over, it has some motion sensor.
Because we were sort of in the bleachers part by the concourse, which is what they want to build at Wrigley Field, which is a cool way to watch a game. And so because we didn't even sit down. We just sort of stood there the whole game, and it was a nice breeze. But I'm looking around going, what are they closing the top for? And so then they closed.
And what's the temperature inside with the roof open?
Oh, it was so nice. With the roof open, it was hot.
Okay.
And when that roof closed, it was nice. It was always dark in there, though, just because,
you know, even though it's open, it's not open all that much. There's really more roof than there isn't. So when it closes, it doesn't have that. It doesn't
it's
have
like a sky roof.
Yeah,
sky sunroof.
So it is. It is kind of a weird atmosphere in there because it always feels like it never felt like you were outside. But what was funny was when they opened it up a little later in the afternoon. Then there was this one big burst of sunshine. So the rest of the field is all shaded, and there's this one big, huge rectangle of sun. And I don't know if it was by coincidence or by design, but it shined right on the opposing team's dugout. And it was, I mean, and
that's
so,
why they opened the roof.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it literally went from the outfield and it stopped right at their dugout to the point, and they had to, those guys had to be dying because it was so sunny and warm. And then you could look, and all the guys on the bench went to the far left side where there was some shade because they would be cooking in there.
And then the bench tipped over because they're all sitting on one end.
But yeah, so we went up there, and then, and like I said, I just was dying of heat. And
have you, Leslie, have you heard of
a pedal bar?
A pedal bar?
Have you heard of a pedal bar?
No.
My godson and his friends, for their bachelor party, they rented a pedal bar.
Oh, one of those. Yes, I've seen them. They have them, like, in Key West and stuff.
So what are they,
so
like 14 guys pedaling with a bartender?
You got it.
Huh? What does it look like?
It looks like kind of a bus, but it's all pedal power. And so you sit there, and I think there's a viral video of a bunch of women having a party on one and drivers driving by and slapping them all on the hiney as they go past.
Oh, that's nice. 312-521-8600. Joel?
Yes, sir, Gary.
What up?
This bar bike, whatever you want to call it, there's an Amstel Light commercial from Amsterdam, and they show them over there quite a bit. The people, we actually face each other. And the way it's geared, it goes opposite of the way you're sitting. It's pretty interesting to see them. I know they've had them downtown Chicago, but
I've never seen them down here.
Available yeah. through Hamaker Schlemmer for $40,000.
Nice. Okay,
oh,
after one use, what would I do with this? You buy it, you use
go
it.
Go on
once,
eBay.
And then it's in the garage, and that's
walk.
It. Huh?
They have a cub walk, and
yeah,
it would be a pedal bar walk.
The pedal bar to Wrigley.
Well, I don't understand as though, to, like the caller's saying, so because if you're pedaling straight, if you're sitting, but yet the thing has got to be moving horizontally, right?
It is, but the way they gear it.
Yeah.
All your pedal power goes to an opposite direction, but you're just sitting there pedaling and until you've had too much and you can't pedal anymore.
It is funny looking, I'll give you that. It is.
Certainly have the Siri on top. You know, they can be pretty fancy.
Yeah, this one has a big barrel on the front, and it has five people on each side.
Yeah, that's about
and then the bartender in the middle. All right, I had not heard of that before today.
Yeah,
I
never heard of it. You learn something new every day.
You hope.
Sure, enjoy your show.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it. Leslie's got stuff.
And seriously, if you Google pedal bar slap, you get a 19-second video of two jamokes driving up and slapping everybody on the hiney as they go
by. Yeah,
because
all their butts are on the street, the way this one is. If you were
riding, because you're facing the center of this vehicle. Meanwhile, the man who was trapped inside Cook County Jail for more than 30 hours earlier this month has filed suit against the county. 51-year-old Farad Polk says he was handcuffed and questioned after knocking down a sprinkler head to bring attention to his plight. The lawsuit alleges the county officials were negligent in allowing him to be trapped in the room and then to subject him to detention and questioning when he was eventually found. Five people have been charged in a melee at Montrose Beach yesterday. Four Chicago police officers were hurt, and a squad car was damaged when the fight broke out among a large crowd that had gathered for a concert. And Akhtamam Nadia Suleiman pleaded no contest to a single count of welfare fraud today in Los Angeles. Suleiman failed to disclose income she received from videos and personal appearances while collecting more than $26,000 in public aid for the care of her 14 children.
Single count is the only thing in...
Yeah, it's the only single count.
Everything else, the sperm count is massive. This is the only single count she's been associated with.
She was sentenced to 200 hours of community service, 2 years probation, and a small fine.
There have been two stumbles that I like. Community suicide. She's been sentenced to community suicide and Brazilian. That's Brazilian.
I said Brazilian.
And I like that. Those stumbles can... develop some gems.
New words found here. Outbound Eden's clearing up after an earlier crash inbound at 2E. You're looking at about 20 minutes to Lake Cook Road. On the inbound side, it's still a half hour. Kennedy outbound's a half hour to O'Hare, 40 on the inbound side. Eisenhower, 24 either way between the post office and Mannheim. Stevenson, about 35 between Lakeshore Drive and 355. Ryan southbound tightening up at the south end. We've got a crash on the Bishop Ford just before Stony Island. And solid traffic, obviously, approaching the scene. Northbound, starting to see a gaper's delay. Meanwhile, it's lighter than usual on the area toll roads. Your forecast? Early showers, then some clearing tonight. Lows in the 50-degree range. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered showers, and a high of only 71. Wednesday, partly cloudy, maybe a shower, and a high of 73. Thursday, partly cloudy, 78. Friday, mostly cloudy, and 83. At O'Hare, 79. Midway, 81. Lakefront, 70. I'm Leslie Keiling, WGN.FM.
Leslie, he, and by he I mean, or they, Dan and Eddie left some things from the Verizon store that I want to give away. And I'm going to give away one of those FM transmitters that just hooks up to your phone. And then you can
on your phone
pull this show up off of one of your FM signals in your car. That's all you have to do. And I'll give that to the 25th caller right now, 312-521-8600. You'll get that FM transmitter.
Four of them.
Okay?
That's cool.
Thank you. Do that. And then before the show is over, I'm going to give away that Motorola Roadster 2 universal Bluetooth in-car speakerphone, and that'll be before 7 o'clock. But right now, this FM transmitter.
I was heartily mocked by my godson's 20-something friends when I pulled my phone out.
Well, yours is a crank phone.
My flip phone. They were like, oh, man.
You're not coming on the pedal bar.
Like, dude,
after they saw that.
Dude, you got to upgrade.
Just saw the pedal bar in Cincinnati. 14 people sitting in an oval.
Right. That's what he said. That was an oval. They had an oval, he said.
On your 10-mile walk Saturday, do you wear a disguise or were you wearing a billboard promoting the dot and nothing else? That's from Jeff. I will tell you this. I had a Los Angeles Dodgers cap on. Because
really?
Whenever I get my hair cut, it's always goofy until you get that
you
first.
You had a baseball hat on? I have never seen you wear a hat.
And that's why, because, I don't know, well, you don't have this problem, but after you get a haircut, it's all, they can never get it.
Oh, I have this problem, of course. You always have to wash your hair before.
Exactly, after.
Yeah.
So I that was the only cap I had available.
You have
for the most part. I switch off Blackhawks. But it was
Thank you for not wearing it backward to work every day.
No, I'm not going to do that. It was my daughter's softball cap.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I put it on. And I'm walking down the street, and this guy looks at me. And he goes, the Dodgers, really? Out of nowhere. I mean, what does the Dodgers, really? What am I supposed to say to that? What is that?
There's nothing you can say.
I mean, it's not like he had a Cubs hat on or whatever.
Did he have any kind of hat on?
No.
No.
The way you said it, though. The Dodgers, really? Yeah. Because I say I just got a haircut.
Oh, I always bring a hat. To the barber.
Well, you have a whole thing after.
Doesn't matter. They still comb your hair the wrong way.
Leslie, can you look up this story? The baby that woke up in a casket at its funeral?
Yeah, that was in the Philippines.
Oh.
The baby had been suffering from a serious fever and was taken to professionals, allegedly, who said that she
well,
she
it's
had
the Philippines.
Yeah, I mean. Remind me not to get sick there.
And, so and look that story up, and I'll talk to Wes. He is the guy who's going to win that FM transmitter. Retail value, $8. But now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
You $8?
Know, I know.
Oh, man, I'm
in. I know it sounds like nothing, but when Dan and Eddie showed it to me, I thought, that's worth 20 times more as far as I'm concerned.
It's the usefulness of it, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it plug it into your phone. It just takes over a signal on your FM radio, and you're coming through the speakers. How about that?
I am in. So when I'm driving to Pittsburgh, and if you would happen to be at home broadcasting, I've got you live even there.
There he is.
That's what I need.
There's
I
Wes.
I need it.
Going to Pittsburgh, who lives, I believe, in South Bend, right?
Yes, sir. You got it, Gary.
I remember things. All right, Wes, hang on. They'll get your address, all right?
Thanks, Gary, so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll have another one to give away before 7.
Is the reason I'm looking up this story because it's taken such an awful turn?
Oh. No, I just got a text.
The three-year-old girl declared clinically dead by doctors who woke up at her own funeral has died.
Okay.
I would want a second opinion.
Can you explain this whole story?
It was in the southern Philippines. She, quote-unquote, died on Friday, and her family quickly made arrangements for the funeral. At the mass, a relative saw, heard movement, lifted the coffin lid, and saw the youngster's head move. So her father grabs her up. There is video on the web of the father grabbing her, cuddling her, but it's obviously not a happy ending. She wasn't in good shape, and they used a cardiac monitor this time to assess the condition.
Wow.
And so she has passed away.
Can you get Wes off on hold for me, please? Leslie?
Hi-oh!
Dot FM. It's
stream.
F for fun. Did they kill the bulls in Cicero after the run like they do in Spain? Yeah, if you went into the parking lot, there'd be bull carcasses all over the place. And you can text me at 312-521-8600. The Dodgers. Really?
Really? Hey, Dodgers are a good team.
And LeBron James re-signed with Cleveland.
Yeah, wow, that's sent shockwaves through the NBA.
What is...
We lost Melo, by the way.
What is the deal with the Bulls as far as not being able to get one of these marquee players? Why didn't they not want to come here?
I don't know. I mean,
is it the money? Is it the ceiling cap? The salary cap?
In the case of
ceiling cap, would be redundant. But the cap I had on was a ceiling cap.
You had, really?
Really?
You had a ceiling cap? Really?
Really?
No, I think that in this case, the Bulls just were. There's some weird salary cap type of things, but at the end of the day, the Knicks were able to offer him about $59 million more. So I don't really think. I think he was having fun being courted.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was ever a question of where he was going to go. And the Bulls apparently did everything they could. I mean, they pulled out all the stops. The Bulls on paper, they are a couple of players away. Certainly Derrick Rose is still a wild card. We don't know how he's going to come back from the surgery. But, I mean, the Bulls have one of the best coaches in terms of in defense. And they've got Joakim Noah now, who's really coming to his own. So it's not like the Bulls
they've had Joakim.
No, but he's really stepped up his game in the last couple of years. He was defensive player of the year. So the Bulls are certainly right on the cusp. And if they had a guy like this Carmelo Anthony,
yeah,
they could certainly. But $59 million is. And plus his kids apparently go to school there and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, thank you, Harry Tynowitz.
But, yes.
Gary, I saw an old Munsters episode, like there's a new one, over the weekend. Someone thought Grandpa was drunk and called him a stew bum. That's what they used to call drunks back
then. Really?
Yeah, stew bum. Yeah.
What does that mean? Stew bum.
A drunk.
Yeah, I'm just a stew, though. I wonder where that's
stew bum. You could become a stew bum.
Could be a stew bum.
At the age of 50. Amy Rutledge from WGN-TV ran with the Bulls, and she's pregnant.
Okay, not smart. But see, I would love to see how she ran with them. Because if she ran like everyone else, they were all on the side. Believe me. There wasn't even a hint of danger at this thing. There wasn't even a hint of danger.
Well, they have
danger.
To sign a waiver anyway.
I'm just saying, though. But the way the people were running, there wasn't even a hint that anybody could possibly get hurt.
Ever since the stage collapsed at the Indiana State Fair, the thought process and insurance coverage on these events has likely changed. Because you're seeing a lot of caution now with the Taste of Chicago canceled on Saturday.
That's a good point. Wasn't that a sugar? What was that? Sugar or something? There was a
Sugarland? Sugarland?
Something like that.
Sugar Buzz?
Sugar Buzz.
Sugar Town? Sugar Walls?
Sugar Buzz is a great name for a band. Look at the Sugar Buzz.
Pedal Pub closed in Chicago.
Oh, really?
I never even knew it was here. Pedal cabs don't allow you to drink on them.
They do in Milwaukee.
Maybe that's what killed it here.
BYOB.
They invited Bibble to the pedal bar because they were hoping his Flintstone feet would do all the work.
Yeah, but
I bet they were bummed that he didn't go.
I know. They're like, now how is it going to move?
You didn't want to go because?
Well, because, I mean, they were staying over. I mean, it was, you know, it's a 2-hour drive, and I mean, what am I going to, I'm not going to drink and then drive home. So what am I going to do? Plus, I mean, let's be honest.
Don't be honest.
It was nice that they invited me, but, you know, he's with his buddies. What am I doing with the buddies?
He wanted to invite you, but he wanted you to also decline.
Well, I think the baseball game, I think I played it. Now, his dad stayed. So I was like, why are you staying?
That's always awkward when the father or father-in-law takes part in the bachelor activities.
Well, especially, well, you know, it's one thing if you're just going to go, you know, bar hopping. But, I mean, I've seen the fathers and the father-in-laws at the bachelor
parties. Fathers-in-law.
Fathers-in-law. When the stripper shows up, that's very weird.
Very weird.
Very bad.
Very awkward.
I mean, that, no. But I even felt, I mean, at the when it was all said and done, me and my friend, who's my godson's father and his brother, the three of us were just kind of talking the whole time. And then my godson and his 8 or 9 friends were on another side talking. And every so often we'd mingle. But, I mean, come on. He's out with his buddies. What does he want with us there?
I thought you were, according to your own comments, the coolest guy around.
Well, I am.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, no, but But I'm just, I didn't want to infringe on him, to be honest with you. I mean, he always would come by, but I mean, let's face it, you know.
Here's one. Isn't everyone in the Philippines a nurse? That's a good point. Oh, Jim Ramsey is filling in for Tom Skilling, and he put his beautiful voice onto one of my scripts, and here is the result. If we could play that now, I look in the control room and I see nothing.
Nothing. Nobody's even reacting.
No, they're talking amongst themselves.
He's not even looking at you now.
No.
Look.
I'm not going to even
look. She's like, oh, by the way. Now, Aaron just said,
by the way, they're talking about you. Yeah.
That Jim Ramsey piece.
Can we hit that now? Thank you.
A couple drives to Chicago on a Friday night from Iowa, about a 5-hour trip. The goal is to spend the weekend in what is touted as one of the great cities in the world. The couple doesn't get to the big city much, so the excitement level is high. When they get close enough to see the great Chicago skyline, they'll get chill bumps. They check into one of the fabulous hotels the city has to offer and head out to dinner on West Randolph. A stretch of trendy restaurants awaits them. They dine al fresco. The weather is summer perfect. The vibe is urban grandioso. Back at the Trump Hotel, drinks on the 16th floor across from the Wrigley Clock, right above Trump's big fat name. Tomorrow, the itinerary includes the taste of Chicago, and this is the main focus of the trip. To sample foods, stroll through Grant Park, and listen to music at the Petrillo Music Shell. When you wake on Saturday morning, you check your phone and see that the taste of Chicago is canceled because of rain. You and your spouse are nonplussed because the rain stopped around noon and the sky appears to be clearing. Is this the same rigmarole as closing the beaches when it gets too hot? You ask the concierge at the hotel to recommend something else. He suggests you drive out to Cicero to run with the bulls at Hawthorne Race Course. You get a chubby, knowing you would never get to Spain to do this. During the run, your wife falls and hurts her ankle. The ride back to Iowa is with mixed emotions and an elevated leg. You never know what can happen to you in Chicago, and that, my friend, is the way we like it.
And Jim will be back tomorrow and put his voice around another one. If he can't sell this city, nobody can, although there's a lot of heavy lifting now. Even he's starting to think he was so gaga for it 6 months ago, and after all the shootings and things, he has his reservations now.
Well, this Montrose Beach thing is even almost adding insult to injury, because this just smacks of the old days with the police beating up people. You know, if you just see it, the footage, it looks like cops and people fighting, which
from the 68 convention.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't really do us good there either.
And I haven't taken a break in 2 hours and 40 minutes, have I?
No.
I'm sorry. I know you all have to do something for a couple minutes.
Man, I mean, you talked about Tom Skilling giving WGN their money's worth.
Am I?
Well, just saying.
Am I?
4 hours now. I mean, there's pretty much no... Last week, I don't think you took any commercials.
Well, there's a lot to say, and I'm saying it. I'm feeling like some, I'm feeling gay right now.
Oh, super.
Here. And here it is. No, that's not what you think. Here. What are you doing?
Well, if I probably have what you want.
How do you know what I want? Let's do.
Because you're feeling gay.
Let's do cut one.
What is
it? Do you have that one?
Well, I do. I don't know.
Oh,
what
you
it
don't
is.
Have the. No, no, I'm sorry. You just have the disc. I like to stump you and always throw something at you that you might not have.
Well, I
on
have
your iPod.
It might be easier just to do it this way.
Yeah, just put the disc in. Go old school.
Yeah, I'll do old school. It's all digital still, so it doesn't matter.
Marvin Gaye on .fm.
Wait a minute.
Oh, jeez.
It's got to load.
Got a load, which is what you...
It takes a while for some reason for this to load. I don't know why. Oh, wait.
Well,
okay, ready.
We're waiting.
Okay, L.A., all right, really?
Really? WGN.FM, Marvin. Probably the coolest guy that ever lived.
Man.
Marvin Gaye. And when he did that national anthem rendition of his... was the NBA All-Star Game?
Yeah.
It doesn't get any cooler than that.
And that actually started the trend now where people do it their own way.
Kind of.
Some people do it the traditional way, but
off,
a lot of times...
Off the grid a little bit.
That was so off the grid. Wow.
But only he could have done that.
That was very cool. And then what, a couple of years later after that, is when his father killed him.
Yeah, that on April Fool's Day, if you remember.
I remember that.
Yes, it was. They should play the Jim Ramsey Chicago bits at the arrival terminals at O'Hare and Midway. Yes, I'd like to see that. I just became engaged to a woman from the Philippines, and your talk about there is a bit offensive, Gary. The entire country is not all wild. Your friend Keith. I apologize. I didn't mean everybody. I just
wild?
Meant...
Why'd you say wild?
I didn't say wild. I said, what did I say?
You said, aren't they all nurses?
That's not, I didn't say that. That was a text.
Right. So yeah. What did you say?
Well, again,
whatever.
If you are familiar with the Filipino culture, they are the most honest people on earth. You ever hear that?
No.
You should always have a Filipino accountant because they're the most honest people.
Really?
Seriously. I've always heard that.
I had a Filipino fourth grade teacher, Miss Tandok. She was awesome.
Yeah.
There's a person who I know that might not agree about the accountant.
That's what I've heard. Just like I like all my doctors to be Jewish, but that's me.
Your doctors?
All my doctors really? Are Jewish. It's not a conscious effort, but it happened that way, and I'm very happy.
Male or female?
Oh, you got to have
male. They're all male.
You got to have a what?
Oh, for a guy? A guy can't have a female doctor.
My husband picked our doctor because he fell in love with her.
Oh, really?
he fell
in love with her.
You want to do another physical?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, my prostate is really hurting me.
And he says she has such tiny hands, which I have come to realize is a fact. So I have no problem.
Oh, that's good
for
the prostate exam.
She is very gentle.
I would feel very uncomfortable.
Really?
With a female doctor doing all that down there?
Well, yeah, you don't want women touching you in personal places.
No.
They don't have to do that down there all the time, just for...
Not unless you ask.
Seems like my doctor always wants to. But, Doc, I just have a nosebleed. I know, pull your pants down.
Well, that's your stickle. That's your theater. That's what you love.
You have a female doctor, but you don't have a female doctor.
I've had females in the practice that have done their turn. Doesn't bother me at all. I'll be honest with you. I kind of like female pilots better. I've seen more female pilots.
There's a lot of female pilots.
Whereas when you're heading out to the runway, all the guys turn it and whip it, which that's a thing I call where they've been cleared, so when they come around, they're already flooring it.
Right.
All the female pilots will come, they'll stop, and they'll do one more check. I've noticed that.
Really?
Yeah, I just like that. Female pilots seem to have something, and I'm not saying there are any bad male pilots out there. It's just... interesting the way their techniques are different. Maybe a female president. Maybe it'd be good to have one.
Hey, I was a Hillary guy long ago.
But we're one of the few countries that has not had a female leader.
I know, it's
leader.
So silly.
But as a woman, having a woman president for the sake of having a woman president is pretty backward.
That's why I'm doing it, because I'm backward.
Well, who said it's for the sake of it?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's for the sake of it.
It's you, obviously.
Well, again, you're not opposed to a female president if she's... Well, she's Republican.
What's, right now, that's
not necessarily that. Republican, conceal, but shares my views.
If she conceal carries.
No, but I mean, look at right now. Right now, the best country in terms of an economy is probably Germany.
Yeah.
And who's running
Angela.
Right. Angel.
Angela Merkel.
Yeah.
But all these countries have had female leaders, and we're one of the few that hasn't.
Remember Golda Meir in the 60s with Israel?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's our rap.
That is so silly.
The Tribune Tower contains 120 stones. Have you seen them embedded in the building?
Yeah, the people always would come by and look at them.
Including the Parthenon in Greece, the pyramids in Egypt, the Taj Mahal in India, the Alamo in San Antonio, the Great Wall of China, and Injun Joe Cave in Missouri.
Back in the day when pilfering these places of interest was okay.
Right. They just took stones out of these places, put them in our own building.
Well, it was a colonel. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
That guy was
Notre
a cowboy.
Dame? Yeah, we're going to Notre Dame. Let's just chip away at the facade for a little
while. Injun Joe, taking part of your cave.
Yeah, that one I don't know is as impressive as the other ones. Taj Mahal and Injun Joe.
It's probably higher up where you can't really see it.
Well, that's like a lot of times when we'd be downstairs in the studio, you'd see people doing those scavenger hunts, like corporate scavenger hunts. And they'd always be by the side of the wall looking
for a picture
one of them. And they must be on a tour book, too, because I used to always see people with a book, and they'd always be pointing on one side of the building or the other.
Well, they're all the way
my
around.
My point is that's where the show is coming from.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people want to know. Is it in your home now?
Oh.
Have they moved you out of the building?
Well, you're still in the real deal.
Might be doing it from Howells and Hood pretty soon.
Oh, the reason I'm mentioning that, I knew there was another connect-the-dots moment here because that seemed too random. It's because, and I'm going to read the email to you and give it to you the way I got it. And
was it still really hot in your office today? Because
we found
out that the thermostat is in Howells and Hood, and you guys don't have access to it.
What a schwitz in there.
The thermostat, when they gave that part of the building to Howells and Hood, our old studios and offices, turns out when they put the wall up, the thermostat is on the other side of the wall on their side, and I guess they just disconnected it. And in the new offices... Because all the windows face south, we get direct sun all the time when it's out. And when I get more than one person in there, meaning myself and somebody else, we start breathing. It gets pretty warm. You walked in when there were four people in the office.
Oh, my God.
Right?
It was like stepping into a sauna.
Yeah, you should just hand out towels. There should be somebody with towels in the front of your door when you people walk in.
Okay, I'm
it says there's actually a sign outside your door that says you can't stay in your office more than 10 minutes.
That's one way to give people who visit you the boot, though.
Yeah.
The building is letting us use the 22nd floor.
Oh.
Uh-oh. We need to schedule the broadcast with engineering. Just got that today.
Oh.
So that's good. We'll be doing the show from the 22nd floor of the Tribune and inviting listeners, and that will happen within a couple weeks.
So it's not going to be this Friday, then? You had mentioned possibly this Friday.
I did.
Initially, you sort of said that.
Well, I'd like to.
Can't do it in a week.
What's there to do? I mean, really, I don't know. Well, it's
I got to buy some hot dogs.
I got to get some.
Got to get some
buns.
I got some brats.
I don't know what the engineering situation is because this is not like when we did it on the AM.
Upstairs,
this is a different setup. I thought it was less complicated.
Looks like you're going to be cutting Adam a check out of your own account.
Adam, was the main engineer for all those remotes. I'll check tomorrow, and if I can do it tomorrow.
Well, I'm just saying because, a couple of weeks is vacation again.
Yes. People are going, what? What kind of job is this? I have to take it while my daughter's out of school, and that's when I'm doing it. Otherwise, I can't go on vacation. And she goes back in the middle of August.
Middle of August.
A lot of these schools
do. Earlier and earlier.
No after Labor Day stuff for the most part.
Do they have air conditioning in the school?
No. Yeah.
Oh. In the middle of August, then that's when it gets the most.
I think that's why it was constructed to go back after Labor Day, because a lot of these schools did not and still don't have air conditioning, and that would offset the heat problem. At least you're into September, but
that's a lot of the student athletes start even earlier. They start them with football practice,
football usually starts, soccer practice, and
that sort of thing early.
Always in the August, but I mean, at least I remember going to school. We always would go after Labor Day, but at least in the spring it would start to get hot in late April or May. But you only had another couple
of
days.
The chances of getting real hot in April or May here.
But August, that's the peak of the hot season.
Well, that's what it is. And that's going to be 2 weeks in a row, which rarely has happened.
Have you ever taken 2 weeks in a row?
I can count on one hand if I was missing three fingers, probably, where I've taken 2 weeks in a row. That is a luxury. I find that the first week you almost need to really get into a rhythm, and then you get that second week to enjoy it. Just when you're getting into that, it's time to go back.
Oh, yeah.
So this way you get a little something.
Just saying, so you have to get it done before then.
Yeah, before then. Otherwise,
then it's too cold. Then it's too hot.
Goes back to school.
Then all of a sudden it's back to school. And then all of a sudden it's spring. And then it's fall. And then it's winter. And you can do it again until the next spring.
That Apes movie did ape business over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
People went bananas for it.
That's what one of the headlines read that you saw, right?
Yeah. Audiences go bananas for a new ape movie.
Ape movie is very appealing to a lot of people.
People go ape for a new Dawn
movie. No monkeying around with this one.
It got pretty great reviews all across the board.
Yeah, I thought the first one was very good. Of this new reboot, and this one supposedly looks like it's even better.
The trailer looked fascinating. Even we're finally in 2014 being able to make apes look like apes. Instead of for years when it
when they have the zipper in the back.
Exactly.
That didn't work.
Oh boy.
I'm still trying to see Godzilla.
You still think
I gave up on that.
Million
Dollar Quartet, yeah. It's been here 5 years.
Sheer madness.
I went to a movie and people applauded. It was very exciting.
Well, you went to one of those.
What, the ape movie, right?
Yeah, no.
No, you didn't see that?
She went to one of her
righty propaganda films.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of her bunt meetings or whatever they call them. her beer hall get-togethers. What is this movie?
America, Imagine a World Without Her. It's Dinesh D'Souza's documentary.
Dinesh what?
Dinesh D'Souza?
Didn't he do the Star Spangled Banner? Or that, what did he
no,
do?
No, that was his cousin, John Philip Sousa.
I like that on a pita.
And what is this rebel-rousing...
It takes all the indictments of why America's such a bad... country that it are floated by some and dispels many of those rumors. Like how we stole all this land from the Mexicans.
Well, what did we do?
No, we stole it from the Indians.
Yeah.
And
Come
the
on.
Fact that we stole from the Indians, forgetting the fact that the Indians were stealing the land from Indians at the time, too.
So at the end, they shot a weapon into the ceiling. Because it's concealed.
Well, it kind of
concealed carry knife.
It took a swipe at Hillary Clinton, and her ties to Saul Alinsky. You know she did
Saul Alinsky. They're going into Saul Alinsky.
She did her thesis on him. Yeah,
right,
I better go. Gotta go.
Okay.
Bye. Sorry.
Oh. Ah, well, that's what makes this country great.
So what's funny then is that Leslie. Would not want to have a woman, would not want Hillary, obviously, even though she was a woman president. So she's putting her feminist views behind her political, you know? Right?
Yeah.
She's basically saying that she doesn't want
That's what happened when she started working with John Williams. She got all gopped up on that.
I wonder how many people had hoods on in this movie, in the audience.
Now, come on.
No, I meant those ponchos that they gave out at the Sox game.
At the Sox game, because it was raining a lot over the weekend.
Oh, no, you didn't think I meant the other thing, did you?
No, I did not. No. Why would I think that? Let's do our opening here on the dot. Gary Meyer on the 50,000-watt Super Streamer. No, it's 50 million watts now. Thank you.
Testing now.
Go.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Good evening, Vancouver and Akron. 4,000 people participated in the Great Bull Run in Cicero on Saturday. It's the American version of Spain's Running of the Bulls. One participant said, quote, "You don't realize how big and fast they are," unquote.
Stupid!
good.
Really? Why do you think people are happy when there's a bull market? Because it's slow and small?
No.
No. Hey, you thrill seekers, I've got a challenge for you. Tape a $100 bill to your forehead and run through some of our bad neighborhoods at midnight screening. Hemingway would be proud of you. A dead body on a gurney fell out of a coroner's van in Pennsylvania when a door malfunctioned, sending the corpse, wrapped in a white sheet, into the middle of a busy roadway. Motorists whizzed by before the body was reloaded. What kind of Benny Hill operation is this? Maybe this can be another event, the running of the corpses.
Yeah.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the building that contains 120 stones from around the world. It's WGN.FM from the Tribune Tower on the Super Streamliner, the Super G in Chicago. Okay. Okay. I think that coroner vans and armored cars should have the strongest locks on the back door, but apparently they don't. And there's a picture that accompanied that story, and I'm looking at it, and it's as if it's some kind of comedy. The gurney, the body wrapped in a sheet, strapped to the gurney, right in the middle of the road, white people driving by.
There's a Get Smart episode where Max is in the back of a ambulance, and he's in the gurney, and it falls out.
Right, a lot of those comedies have had that scene.
Yeah.
And it slides out, and they go rolling down the hill.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Somebody sent me this from Amazon, Muffin Tops Baking Cups. So it's a pair of pants as the cup, and you make your muffin.
Oh, is that great?
Muffin Tops Baking Cups.
Oh, that is
Can I post this on my Facebook page?
Sharks?
Yeah, I'll send it, I want to get this posted.
Now, that's a great idea.
That's funny. How much are they?
Wow.
How much they are. $12.49 and free shipping on orders of over $35.
But, I mean, so what, two comes in a pack?
Includes four cups.
Four? For 12
with
bucks?
Silicone. You can hand wash them.
Oh, that's not bad. That's $3 a head. Or $3 a top.
Muffin tops.
That's great.
As you would picture them in a little holder with a muffin.
With the jeans.
Not the kind that you see where... If you've seen this, I'm sure you have. The People of Walmart. You ever seen that series on the internet? Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people in shorts at that Milwaukee baseball game yesterday. Oof.
Well, they
Oof,
they have the good eating up there.
Then I find myself in the parking lot. I got there early, and I'm waiting for the whole crowd to get to the game, meeting them there. And so... little do I know that I'm in the parking lot that is the tailgating parking lot for all the Brewers fans. So now I am surrounded by hibachis and...
That's what they do with the Packers, too.
Yeah.
In huge quantity.
And bags. You know that game, Bags?
Oh, they're playing...
Cornhole?
Yeah, they're playing that.
So now, I didn't know because I was sitting in my car. I get out of the car to go toward the stadium, and every aisle had about four bags games going. They were just there. And then the thing, which is fine, hey, but a lot of these people weren't wearing shoes. I'm like, you're in a parking lot. Why aren't you wearing shoes?
Just, and you should have asked, because why?
It just seems so skeevy to me. I'm like, why can't you be wearing shoes?
Yeah, what, parking lot.
It was paved, and it wasn't black. It wasn't a black, you know, asphalt.
Doesn't matter what color it is.
But it had to be hot. And I'm like, you can't
but
put
still,
shoes on.
Even if it's not hot.
I know. I mean,
all the goo-goo on these surfaces.
I'm like, you know, we're not at the beach here. And I was like, so that really turned me off.
Who won the game?
Oh, the Brewers. It was
who'd they play?
They played the Cardinals. It was a game for first place. They were tied going into the game yesterday for first place, and the Brewers won 11-2 or some crazy score. I left before the game was over. I'm not sure what the final score was, but it was the Brewers went nuts. So it was a good game for that. But, I mean, we weren't really paying attention to the game. It was more just to get together with everybody and salute, you know, his bachelor party.
And then you were invited to the pedal bar.
Pedal bar, which I did
declined.
Not. Yeah, well, I mean, what am I going to do? And I'll tell you, boy, talk about – traffic, a lot of Illinois plates coming home about 4:30. Everybody just must go up to Wisconsin on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's got the whole cabin stabbing, yeah, whatever they do up there.
Wow. I mean, it was blocked for a good...
You don't remember the days when we didn't have the I-Pass and that was a Deerfield?
Yeah.
That toll basket where it was backed up for miles on a Sunday night?
Awful. This time, flew right through.
How long did it take to come up with this technology? Too long.
Oh.
The amount of gas and time wasted.
But, you know, I wonder how many people really still have the I-Pass. Because I got off the 294 at Irving Park, and they had about 5 cash windows and only 1 I-Pass lane, and about 5 or 6 cash ones. And at this point, I was shocked to see that
there was this
at Irving Park off of 294 going south. And I was like, there's only 1 I-Pass lane and 5 or 6 cash lanes. At this point, wouldn't you think most people have an I-Pass?
They do make more money on the manual.
And
maybe, you know, that's it. They figure.
Yeah, but then you have to have a man.
Got to have a man.
Thus the name.
I'm a man.
Manual.
Can I go work there?
No, but I just would be surprised that they would be able to house 6 of those. I would think that most people had an I-Pass at this point. I don't drive the tollway hardly ever, but I still bought one for this exact reason. Why go and sit in that line?
I don't know. Your answer is.
Wouldn't you think, though?
Out there somewhere.
But you don't think that most. Wouldn't you think that?
I would think most people do.
Yeah.
At this point. Why would you want to sit in or pay double? I believe it's double at least.
Because, you know, even the one in Des Plaines that was right near where you said your radio station was. You know, like where those buildings were.
River Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one there. And I'm driving on my way up north, and a ton of people all of a sudden when they, because there's a bunch of, there's the one that you just drive through, no problem. But then on the right, they have all the cash ones. And all of a sudden, there's this huge migration of everybody shooting over to the right. And I'm like, wow. I thought by now we'd be zip zip.
Again, you have questions to ask. Why are you not wearing shoes a parking lot?
That I don't understand.
And why don't you have an I-Pass in 2014?
It's not that expensive. And my gosh, like you were saying, my God.
Are there that many people that don't take the tri-state, the tollways that often and just figure I don't need it?
But the ease of when you do is worth the $40.
Even if you're getting charged more than you should, you'll never know.
Right.
It's all off.
It's so invisible.
In a soundproof booth.
It's so.
You have no idea. You don't care.
It's so true.
But you just like the ease of going through.
They could be charging you $7 a toll and you wouldn't know.
I know when I go through, they could be taking a picture up my skirt, but I don't care.
It is so nice. Because I thought of that exactly, because at the Deerfield thing, they still have that curve, you know, where it used to be, where you'd all of a sudden come to that stop, and I was like, boy, what a
broom.
Does that exist anymore?
I think it does.
The bad corrugated, or whatever that was.
Why was it bad corrugated?
Because it would no, that shake your
good.
Car.
That was good to wake you up. But that was the whole point of that.
Scared the hell out of
you. If you were sleeping, and you could be sleeping for 300 miles, but you get there. Rich?
Yeah, Baba Bibble, you were getting off at Irving Park, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there, that's all the pay lanes, because there's an automatic, you know, there's 4 lanes of traffic going underneath the automatic sensor, but you had to get off into the cash lanes. So they only have 1 I-Pass through lane at the cash lanes. You understand?
Yeah,
but there were
5 cash lanes and 1 I-Pass lane, is my point.
Right, that's because the majority of the tollway traffic was going underneath the automatic sensor in the 4 other lanes that you weren't, you know, you got off to pay cash. You had to get over. But, there's 4 other lanes that are to the left there that are going underneath the automatic sensor on the tollway.
Right, but my point is when you went off to the right, there's one away from the major one, there is an I-Pass lane and five cash lanes next to the I-Pass lane. I was surprised there would be five cash lanes at this point.
Oh, well, yeah. There's a lot of people that, you know, especially during the summer, you know, I mean, are traveling, so they're out of state.
But other states have this same system. They don't travel the toll roads in their state?
Oh, well, you know what? Follow the money. It's probably a union thing.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I remember the Necco wafers. What good old days, Gare.
What do you remember?
Using Necco wafers to pay tolls.
And that would be wrong. That is the wrong thing to do.
It was fun, though.
Wrong and fun.
They usually go together. Wrong and fun usually go together.
Sadly, or maybe happily, they do.
Remember the slugs when you work construction when they punched out the electrical outlet thing?
Right, and those slugs, yeah.
Yeah, you use those too. So
usually in a pop machine where you had to drag the bottle through the grid and then pull it up. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, Willie's Weenie Wagon.
Willie's Weenie Wagon. Have you been recently?
What's his name owns it now, that John, that drug dealer?
Former.
Prison? What's his name?
Former. Is it Kappos?
Yeah, John Kappos.
Kappos.
Yeah, he bought Willie's Weenie Wagon. It's in Markham, 159th and Crawford?
Yeah.
Is that Kedzie or Crawford?
Cheeseburger. Good double cheeseburger.
The place has been there a million years.
It's called Johnny's now.
Johnny's Wagon, Weenie Wagon.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Johnny's beef over in Elmwood Park.
Over by there, dipped, rich, nice lemonade, $1.58. I haven't been to a Johnny's Weenie Wagon. I've been invited, but I haven't been.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the, it was the best back in the day when it was just that, whatever you want to call it, it was like a.
It was a truck. Wagon. It was just
a
wagon.
Like the first food truck.
Like
it never
Portillo's set
anywhere,
up,
you know.
Originally in a wagon, and it was just that. And these guys ran out of those places and built them up to whatever. Now this is just one operation, but it was also around when I went when there wasn't a lot of fast food competition.
Right.
Yeah. So it was a unique thing for that too.
But that's what Dick Portillo started with, a wagon.
Yeah.
Same thing, man. Now it's worth $1 billion.
Didn't some firm just buy it for $1 billion?
Yeah.
That's what they said. They didn't confirm it, but those were the words.
$1 billion for Portillo's chain.
Yeah.
I don't blame somebody for paying that. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah. It's the best fast food there is, you know.
And he started, like we said, with that little thing and then made this empire.
Yep, over in Villa Park.
I'm hungry now. We always start talking about food at this time.
It's always around 6:20.
And it's hard to get to the end now.
Well.
All right.
We're in the home stretch, my man.
Thank you, Rich.
All right, later.
312-521-8600. That is the text number.
A nice combo.
And the phone number.
So I drove past Johnny's on Saturday night. Lines around the place.
Somebody sent me some gift cards for Johnny's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have gift
cards. I haven't used them yet.
They have
gift certificate. Yeah, I mean, get gift certificates for any place, I got Johnny's gift certificates to get a beef dipped.
Free dipped.
Christopher Walken is playing Captain Hook in NBC's Peter Pan Live in December. They did Sound of Music last year. It was such a success. They're going to do Peter Pan, and Christopher Walken is going to play the Hook.
Well, he started as a song and dance guy.
That's what it says on
really
the article.
Really his background. His mother was a dance teacher, I believe.
I didn't know he did that on Broadway.
I think his mother was a dance teacher. And then remember about 10 years or so ago, he was in a video where he was dancing through a mall?
No, I never saw that.
Oh, yeah. And no one really ever saw him dance like that. It was like, where did this come from? And then
he's good at it.
This whole backstory is then like, wait a minute, this guy started off as a dance guy. Yeah.
I started off as a dancer.
I mean, he's really had, what a career he's had.
He's been working for decades.
Well, he was in,
Annie Hall.
Well, he was in Annie Hall. That was his first thing, I think, in 77. But then, remember, he was in Deer Hunter, where he played the Russian roulette.
He pops up in movies that you forget about. Over the years.
Yeah, Andy Hall, he's got a very small role. I think it was his first movie role.
But a great role where Woody Allen wanders into his bedroom because he's Annie's brother and tells Woody that he has these urges when he's driving late at night to just jerk the wheel to the left and go head on into the oncoming car. And then he ends up taking them back to the city. And they show Woody Allen just staring through the windshield.
Oh, what a great sight gag. Yeah, he's
Wedding Crashers.
Oh, he's been in a million movies, but he's
Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And then
two mice fall into a vat of cream.
And wasn't he in Pulp Fiction? Didn't he play the remember that one where he brought the metal back? He was a veteran who brought the I think that he was in that.
Was that Pulp Fiction?
Was that Pulp Fiction?
No, I think it was.
What was that? No? Wasn't it?
I don't know.
You remember where he came back?
Yeah, I know the scene, but yeah. I can't remember what movie that is.
I thought it was Pulp Fiction. No, was that the other Quentin Tarantino one, the Reservoir Dogs?
Again, I'm just going to be guessing,
okay. And
there's no need to do that.
We'll have to look that up.
I talked to my friend Brian today. He called me, and is this Joe? Jojo? Okay. Joe?
Yeah, here I am, Gary.
Yeah, Brian called me and said you just keep having problems with your phone setup that he got you.
No, I'm going to call him tomorrow because he called me today, but I was at the doctor today. And I'm going to call him tomorrow morning. No, I think I got it worked out.
Yeah?
Yeah, my cleaning lady was here at the time Brian called last week, and she worked it out for me.
Oh, good.
She showed me what I was doing wrong.
And you think you got it down now? Because Brian was going to go out and fix it again.
No, I'm going to call him tomorrow.
Okay.
And, yeah, because I was gone off most of the day. And, no, I'm fine now.
Good.
Listening to your whole show. But I was going to say, Johnny's is not like he used to be. Johnny sold it. He died.
He did?
Oh, yeah. It's not. To me, it's not the same as it was.
You got the speaker up too loud there, Joe, and we're on about a 90-second delay here.
I try to lower it.
You might not want to touch something. It'll all blow up.
With the phone, you know, with the regular radio, you just lower it. Now you do other things.
Yeah.
No. No, yeah, Johnny's been sold for, like I said, I think he died a couple years ago.
Do you live close to Johnny's?
Yeah.
Walking distance?
I'm not walking distance to anything.
Except the refrigerator.
Well, refrigerator, the bed, the couch,
yeah.
A chair.
The bathroom.
You know, the sink.
That's all you need. Really, what else is there in life?
Just the basics.
That's all you need.
That's it.
All right. How was your weekend?
I wish I could. I wish I did have walking distance. I love walking.
How was your weekend?
It was the usual.
Yeah. Walked from here to there. And
that's to the sink.
Church in between, you know.
I got a little church. And do you walk to church?
No. Celestine has a bus. They pick you up.
Well, that's good.
So that was, that was good. That's, one of the few churches around this area that does that, you know.
What church is this?
St. Celestine's.
Celestine's.
In Elmer Park, yeah.
And that is the patron saint of?
Beef.
Celestine. I don't know.
Of lemonade.
Italian ice.
Of Johnny's beef.
Johnny's beef,
over
maybe?
By
I don't know.
But that is another case of this place has been there a million years. Whoever owns it's probably made a fortune.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, it has. And, oh, the sandwiches were, like, excellent. We go for lunch, though. But it's always, when I worked, we used to go there for lunch. But there used to be a line out there. I don't know if they had the lines like they did.
They still do.
They still do.
Yeah, well, I think Mexicans took it over. I'm not sure.
Here we go. All right.
They sold Russell's, too, didn't they?
What's Russell's?
Johnny didn't own Russell's, no.
No, there's a big, one of these places.
Yeah,
like,
Russell's used to,
it's like a barbecue.
What I heard was on North Avenue. yeah. years ago, and then they moved. I guess maybe a century ago, I don't know. And then he moved over here to Thatcher. I love that that place. I love their pork sandwiches. They were excellent.
At Russell's?
Russell's.
Oh, yeah.
It's been there forever.
Oh, and it's excellent. Well, that too has been. I think it was Greeks that really owned it at the beginning, I think. Then the Jewish. Now, I don't know who owns it now.
Pick an ethnic group. Throw it on the Barbie.
I mean, really. I mean, everything. But everything seemed. Russell's seemed to be the same, though, as far as I'm concerned with the pork sandwiches. The French fries were good.
No, I'm hungry now, Joe.
Yeah. You know what, though? I haven't been to Russell's. I wish I could. Because, when I was able to walk, I could walk to Russell's.
Yeah.
But not now.
No. And what are you having for dinner tonight?
Two Sloppy Joes.
Two Sloppy Joes.
Two Sloppy Joes and potato chips.
That's a nice Monday meal.
Yeah, because I wasn't home to do anything, because I was at the doctor, so I just had made a couple of Sloppy Joes.
Those are easy.
That's better than I could think.
I hope.
And you know what? With Sloppy Joes, you can make a bunch of it and freeze it.
That's right.
And if you've had too much wine, Joe, that's your nickname. Right? You're doing red or white tonight?
No, I'm white.
Yeah?
Well, of course you are.
I know. We hear that a lot.
You know what? And, you know, Leslie, because, she doesn't want a woman president.
Right.
Not Hillary Clinton. Doesn't mean that she doesn't want a woman president. She just might not like Hillary Clinton.
I guess that could be.
I was just saying before that you put your politics before your feminism.
You know, I mean, you have to choose. You know, it doesn't mean that you don't like a woman.
No.
She doesn't want a woman president.
No, because Leslie's not a feminazi. We know that.
I didn't want Obama in, not because he was black, but I'd rather have Colin Powell in there.
Because he's not as black.
Wait, Colin Powell didn't run.
No, but if that was my choice, if I had a choice, I would have voted him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm doing the show from the 22nd floor here in a week or two. And how about if I get you to come down here, we'll have you picked up or something.
25th and what?
Have another wine.
Wait a minute.
She is Sloppy Joe.
The 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower. I'm broadcasting from there. I don't know the date yet, but when I do, maybe we can have. Well, Bob, the taxi driver, always offers to pick you up too.
Maybe my girlfriend would drive me.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. How about that?
Well, let me know ahead of time. Here.
I will.
You know what? Now you can't even have your Christmas tree in the showroom, even.
That's not my territory anymore.
Yeah, I know that part.
Oh, well.
Yeah, oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah. I'm waiting for her to go, yeah, because yeah. Mexicans took over this station.
Sons of bitches.
All right, Joe, I'll get the...
I mean, this guy's all over the place. I hate to say, but he is. I mean...
Who?
I'm not mentioning no names, you know?
All right.
But boy, I mean, he does promos, he does advertisements, he does everything now. I mean, it's like... Okay. I leave it late.
All right. I'll tell you when this is coming up, and we'll get you down here.
Okay, talk to you later, Gary.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, have a nice day, evening, and the Bibble, be good.
Okay.
He'll try. Thanks, Joe. Here's Leslie.
The man who was trapped inside Cook County Jail for more than 30 hours earlier this month has filed suit against the county. 51-year-old Farad Polk says he was handcuffed and questioned after knocking down a sprinkler head to bring attention to his plight. The lawsuit alleges that county officials were negligent in allowing him to be trapped in a room and then subsequently to subject him to detention and questioning when he was eventually found. Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy says people shouldn't worry about a fight that broke out at Montrose Beach yesterday. He said there were plenty of officers to deal with that. He says the focus should be on the gun violence in the city and the people killed over the weekend. And Chief Keefe is once again a wanted man. After failing to appear in court for a child support hearing, Cook County Judge Patricia Furix issued the warrant for the rapper whose real name is Keith Cozart. The state's attorney is alleging he owes more than $10,000 in back child support for his 16-month-old child. On the expressways, we're seeing some nice improvement. Outbound Eden's doing just dandy. Inbound side, about 24 from Lake Cook to Montrose. That travel time's dropping fast. Kennedy outbound, 24 to the airport. Inbound side at 27. No big worries on the outbound Ike. Inbound, about 34 in from 53. 19 from Mannheim. Stevenson, 28 between Lakeshore Drive and 355. The Ryan southbound, 19 to 95th. Northbound Lakeshore Drive, still seeing some heavy pockets between the south end of Grant Park in Belmont. Tollways are looking much lighter than usual. Northbound 53 at I-90, though, watch out for a crash. Your forecast, early showers, then clearing tonight. Lows around 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered showers and a high of 71. Wednesday, partly cloudy, maybe a shower and a high of 73. Thursday, partly cloudy. We're back up into the upper 70s, and by Friday, we'll see the 80s again. At O'Hare, 75. Midway, 79. Lakefront, 71. I'm Leslie Keidling, WGN.FM.
Thank you, Leslie. Have you seen the picture of that guy that was on the gurney that fell out of the coroner's van?
Yeah, it was a bad scene. A malfunctioning door, they're saying.
I'm going.
He was wrapped in. Body was wrapped in a sheet.
In a sheet and strapped to the gurney.
Right.
But still, it slides out the back. I'm going into the business to make better door locks for armored cars and coroner vans, because there seems to be a market for that.
It seems like a hook and eye might be better than some.
How about on trains, you see those springy things holding the cars together in case one couples at least are
right.
Still. Maybe at least hook the gurney to something
a little
inside
back up there. Yeah.
The
tether it. Tether it.
Exactly. So that's a fail-safe.
On a piece of elastic or something.
312-521-8600.
And that's the only job for that vehicle, is to transport
exactly
those bodies.
Well,
so,
that's the same thing with the armored cars that break open.
So why wouldn't you make sure the one thing it does?
That reminds
me. You had one job.
When I was on vacation, I went to the Starbucks, and I wanted my Arnold Palmer, and they said they were out of lemonade. Okay. Uh-huh. Next day, Arnold Palmer, we're out of lemonade. 2 days in a row, the funny thing, there's a grocery store literally 30 yards from this Starbucks where they could just send somebody. Do they have to buy the lemonade officially? I know these franchises.
Right.
I don't know about Starbucks, but these franchises, you have to buy everything from a certain supplier. I get that.
But you would think a manager at that point would be a little proactive.
Yeah. We're out of lemonade. You're only selling basically tea, lemonade, coffee. That's your thing.
You should have came in the second day with your own lemonade.
I should have. I'll mix it here. Don't worry about it. But I just think it's funny. It's the same thing when I went to a Starbucks on Michigan Avenue here and I ordered decaf. We have to make it. So I had to wait about 5 or 10 minutes, so they made decaf. Now, I know maybe a lot of people don't order
but
decaf.
So what?
But that's all you do,
right.
Whether it's calf, decaf. That's the only business you're in. You should have giant vats of this stuff and just suck it up from the basement.
Why? Do more people do calf now?
I don't know what the breakdown is.
Because
I'm sure it's not as much decaf.
Because usually wasn't that the trend? Everybody had decaf for a while, I thought.
I'm sure it isn't as much. But still, all you do is coffee.
Have both.
Hot coffee. That's all you got to do. Have big vats of it, so when I come up, we're ready to go.
Yeah, it's like going to Steak and Shake, and they don't have a shake. We're all
when that's all you do, you should do it right. Whether it's transporting bodies or cash, make sure the back door is locked.
Because both are precious cargo.
The entire show is repeated at 7 o'clock, starting at 7 o'clock, and then it's all podcast. Now, I did get some emails that the Friday show was not up on the podcast as it should have been right away or within a couple hours after the show. Has that been corrected? Because we were having trouble with that last week. And Friday again,
I believe all the problems have been ironed out.
You believe?
I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
And if you're interested in Johnny from Michigan, he was on right at the start of the show. So if you didn't hear that segment, he recaps his trip to New York and Washington. And it is, again,
it was a classic.
It's Johnny Gold.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm going to call him. He crammed more in, I think it was about 4 or 5 days at the most. I don't think it was a week.
No, I think it was 2 days in, 2 or 3 days in New York and two in Washington.
2 and 3 days in Washington. And this guy did more than I have done, like I told him, in probably a couple years.
And I don't know how he gets to these places.
After he gets to these cities, you mean?
Yeah, like, because where he's going, they're not all, it's not like he's, it's all bunched. He went to a baseball game in Flushing.
Mets, right.
That's not in Manhattan.
Right.
That's outside the city. And then he was in Manhattan where at his hostel. And then he went to Times Square, which is a completely different area from where he's staying.
And I can't imagine he's taking cabs
because
he doesn't have that much money.
That's
my point.
But
he must know the, well, subway, whatever.
But I mean.
But you're right. The guy is on the go. But I'll tell you what. Now that he's mentioned it, I have to have the macaroni and cheese.
B.B. King's
disco night or whatever that was.
Well, B.B. King has a bar. I think it was just the group
he
was
said,
Disco Unlimited.
And he went and had the macaroni and cheese at disco night.
And they played everything except Gloria Gaynor and...
And what was the other
what
one?
What was the other one?
He had another song. He said they played all the good disco songs except those two.
Yeah. Oh, Clinton. The Parliament, maybe.
Yeah. That guy is a TV show. I wish I could get that guy a TV show because he's great.
I mean, I'm afraid to take subways in these cities.
He went all by himself, did all the stuff, toured the White House for a half hour. He had to get clearance 6 months in advance, and the tour was only a half hour. And they just showed him a scrapbook of pictures with former presidents and their kids and
their dogs.
And they're cockatoos.
Well, I do. I remember about 25 years ago, I went on a tour of the White House, and that was obviously long before the 9/11 and all the security. And it was a much that was at least an hour tour, I would say. And we saw the East Room, we saw the Red Room. We went much more than it sounds like he saw. You never get to go to the West Wing; that was always off limits. But you got to see all those rooms where they have the press conferences or they have those concerts.
Yeah, that's all clamped down now.
Yeah, but now it sounds like it's not even
worth it. Yeah. Regarding the Montrose Beach Taste of Dirtbag on Sunday, the Trib reported that CPD from as far away as O'Hare responded to the scene. What's up with that? That thing sounds like it really
has the
potential to go blow big.
They said 90 minutes. It took them to break up the fight. I mean, that's like an hour and a half.
It's insane. They should have, as that one caller said, made those idiots clean up the mess they made.
It sounded strange, though, McCarthy's comment. Like, well, we've got murders to deal with. Well, that was just a melee. He was kind of playing.
They called it a skirmish.
Yeah. But he was sort of playing that off.
Well, what's he going to do? This whole place is a tinderbox.
I can't wait until because he's going to wind up leaving here. You know that.
Well, who's going to take this job?
Well... Someone will.
You need a dictator.
It pays.
We need a dictator in charge of the police department.
But I can't wait to hear him when he doesn't have the shackles on as far as having to toe the line here because he's in the town now. When he goes back home or he goes to another city and he starts to open up about the problems in Chicago, then you watch.
Think he'll do that?
Well.
Seems like bad form.
I guess, but I just think that people will, that's going to be, once he was out of the job, that would be the first question I would ask him. What was it really like? Because, my gosh, I mean, this guy's been on...
Imagine what we don't know.
Oh. And the guy got a heart attack from this
job. I would.
Let's be honest. He did. Although he looks like he's in pretty good shape now.
When you have the whole heart rearranged and you drop a few.
He seems like he has a little more color in his face now. He's looking
like
a little ashy.
Running after these idiots. I thought I'd pick something from the...
Here, I have it here.
The local rock scene from many years ago. I don't know if some of you remember this group, the Mods. Do you remember this?
I remember the song. I didn't know it was the Mods.
The Mods. You remember Soul Drippin'? WGN.FM. Mods, Soul Drippin'.
The Mods.
You don't.
I never heard that
you're
name.
Too young.
I remember the song, but I've heard the song, but were they? Did they have another? Was that their
local.
Only hit?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it might have been mostly regional.
Yeah.
But I always liked that. 312-521-8600. Before 7 o'clock, I'm going to give away the Motorola Roadster 2 Universal Bluetooth in-car speakerphone. Sweet product here. So I'll tell you when to call in the next few minutes, and then you'll be owning that. I had two guys in earlier from Verizon to help me and maybe you out on some of this new technology that will make listening to this program even easier than maybe you've experienced so far. And the best thing, I think, as far as cost and convenience was that FM transmitter. This thing plugs into your phone, and then there's a jack to go into the electrical circuit. It's not the cigarette lighter anymore, it seems. And then it pulls the audio off one of the FM signals.
Yeah.
You pick the FM signal you want to squash, and it comes up over that.
Man. It's in a little bag. $8.
It's in a little bag. It's $8.
How could you not
it's
do this?
In a little bag. There's not even any writing on it. It's mysterious.
No.
It comes look, from China.
It does look very black market.
But it works. Doesn't matter. It's Matt.
Oh, gee.
Hey, Gary. I wasn't going to call today, but I had to call you about that music selection. Oh, my God. Chicago's best, the Mods on the Mercury label.
You're like Dick Biondi's illegitimate son.
Boy, that's good stuff. I mean, whew. I actually petitioned a certain Chicago FM rocker to put that on one of his CDs. He Shall Remain Nameless. You know who I'm talking about.
Well, the funny thing is, that's where I got it.
That's where
we got it. Bob Stroud.
You're playing it off the Rock and Roll Roots CD.
Yeah, it's Bob Stroud.
Yeah.
That's where I go for my stuff.
Yeah, I petitioned him to get that on one of his, several years ago, and he actually got it. And I was overjoyed because every copy of the 45, it's not on any album, and every copy of the 45 I've ever seen on the Mercury label has a Q-burn on it.
Q-burn. For those in the know, that's when the radio played 12-inch records, the vinyl.
Well, they had in this case, it was a 45.
Or a 45, either way.
Yeah,
you had to cue it up to have it ready for when you would introduce the song, and after a number of uses, that needle would scratch the beginning, and you'd hear that crackle before the song started.
Yeah, this terrible static, because what you were doing was you'd hear the beginning of the song, and then you'd stop the turntable and manually back it up so that it was ready to start right when you hit the start button, when you hit the key switch on the control board.
So you can do a segue.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Exactly, so you could keep a tight board, but that thing, oh my God, Mercury 45s were notorious for cue burning like that. You know, three or four plays and they were shot.
Were you in radio at some point?
No.
Yes, sir, I was. Yeah, that one goes back to my college radio days to a radio station that, oddly enough, I just realized there's a connection here because I was on WKDI, which was the university radio station, the campus radio station at NIU, and we weren't broadcast. We had no transmitter. We were only on the local cable.
All right.
So, your former partner made a trip out there at one point. Maybe you were with him. I guess you must have been with him at the time. And instead of saying, you're in the air, he said, you're in the wall. I heard stories of this anyway. He made mention of you're in the wall because we were cable only.
Matt, the Maud song, was that just a regional hit? You must know.
Yeah, definitely. It did hit the Hot 100, but it didn't do anything, tremendous nationally. It was a local hit because they were local guys, but just a great song. I don't know why it didn't hit, nationally. But I remember playing that one at KDI, and then I worked at a station that also doesn't exist anymore out in DeKalb, All Hit DEK.
And was that the highest you went on the food chain and then gave it up?
Yeah, well, actually, I briefly worked. I also worked at WAIT, not the famous 820 AM back when they were Beautiful Music, but we picked up those call letters. It was a station in Crystal Lake, which is now called Star 105.5 or something in Crystal Lake.
You make the business sound so glamorous.
Oh, yeah, right. No, see, I never got the full-time gig. I was always part-time. So it just, you know, and I got so disillusioned with it. I also briefly worked for public radio station that was out of DeKalb and Rockford, WNIJ.
Oh, the Nidge.
Yeah.
You're on the Nidge.
Which was a branch of WNIU, which was, you know, NIJ was the jazz side and NIU was the classical side.
If I was working there, you know how I've done, this is the G, I'd go, you're on the N-word. You're on the N-word.
Oh, gee.
You work it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, whatever works.
Yeah.
I used to, you know, my catchphrase at All Hit WDEK and DeKalb was, you know, Matt Malone at the controls of this 20,000-watt jukebox, you know, give
nice.
Me a call on the listener line and all that junk.
Nice. But, heck, there are guys in Chicago today doing that.
Still doing it.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't know. That's why I'm telling you that.
That was 100 years ago, Gary.
I know, Matt.
Back when I was a young whippersnapper, as Tony Beretta would say.
So you know the serial number on that Mercury single was 482-F.
And had a black label.
Actually, no, it was an orange label.
Orange. Right. Mercury was always orange.
Okay. Yeah, it was the orange Mercury label. The I'm looking at my Joel Whitburn book. The it was Mercury 72832, put to number 85 and 68.
I have that book. You have? Is that the Billboard 100 book?
Yeah, I've got several editions of it. I've got one that goes back to that was up through 1990. I've got one that goes through 96. I've gotten the updates over the years. We've got the I've got the 2012 book too, but that's got all that garbage, all that Glee stuff that hit the charts.
Hey, Matt, I just got this text. This radio know-it-all reminds me of Kevin DePaul Bradley, who thankfully has moved on.
Yeah, no kidding.
I guess he didn't make the transition.
I have no idea who that is.
He was a guy that would call on the AM show, and he'd do kind of a DJ thing, and just he'd talk for about 14 seconds and hang up on himself. This is Kevin DePaul Bradley.
Never
Good night.
Heard of him.
All right, well, he was part of that. I have a new whack pack now, or mostly new. I brought Joe over, Johnny from Michigan, and that's about it. But,
well, I want to know when this 22nd floor thing is going to be.
I don't know yet. I just got the word today that it's okayed, and we're going to do it, if not this Friday, probably a week from Friday.
Oh, okay, because this Friday would be great. As I mentioned to you before, I'm on vacation Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, I will have to tell
people.
Then,
of course.
If Matt's on vacation.
Get a hold of Dilbert and let him know, you know, hey,
yeah.
Pencil it in.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
See ya.
I guess guys that have dabbled can never let it go. Well, they keep their eyes and ears open
sure.
for stuff.
It's addictive.
It is?
Don't you think? What the hell? You've been doing it for 35 years.
No, but I'm making a living off it,
yeah,
so I understand my addiction.
But you're making a living off it because you like it.
If I disconnected from it, it's not like I go around and think about pharmacy when I dropped out of that.
Well,
I don't walk around.
Because that wasn't your passion.
Yeah. I have to say this, I guess. I don't know why. I don't have to, but I should.
You don't have
to.
It's a stream. You don't have to do anything.
The stuff I give away in the live version does not get repeated when the show repeats. I don't give it away again because people are going to listen to this or on the podcast and
call in.
That's not going to happen because this is live. I only have these items right now. Can't be repeating them over and over again and giving them away, and there's nobody here to answer the phone anyway. So having said that, the 25th caller right now will get the Motorola Roadster 2 Universal Bluetooth in-car speakerphone. List price, almost $100.
Nice.
It is. It's a handsome-looking thing. So 25th caller, 312-521-8600 will get that.
Yeah, the guy from the Verizon store, he came.
I like that guy, and I like that Dan guy.
Yeah.
They're going to be regulars, I guarantee it, because they approached
they got stuff
and they approached me and said, "Can we do it? We'll give away some stuff." You got it.
Right.
The beauty of this, I don't have to go through the promotion department and all the other stuff you have to do, because I don't have to worry about all those.
This is a virtual promotion department.
Other issues. It is. It's just, whatever happens,
whatever
happens.
It is.
I give it away.
Yeah.
And if you want more information on all that stuff, if you're in the Woodfield area, you've got Eddie Voltaire, the store manager at Verizon there.
Right by the Red Robin.
Go by Red Robin, make a left or right. It's right by the Red Robin. And Red Robin,
oh,
do you ever go there?
Really good.
It's great.
Very good.
Bottomless French fries. How many fries can you eat, really, though? I mean, I guess it's a good bet.
It sounds, your stomach, is, or your eyes are always
but
bigger
you know,
than
some
stomach.
People will eat until they drop.
I really love cheeseburgers and hamburgers.
Why shouldn't you?
Aren't they just really, I mean, they're when they're made correctly, boy, that is a good meal.
Well, you're making me hungry now. Thank God it's almost towards landing.
People are noticing that you guys start talking about food in the 6 o'clock
I wonder why that is. And I had a sandwich for lunch today. Usually, if I don't, that's when it really kicks in. But I still get hungry around this time.
Well, you don't
eat. Makes sense.
Don't you eat till, what, 7:30, 8 o'clock,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's the bummer of this.
Okay. Leslie's got a final report. You want to do something?
I
you got anything?
I'm in.
No, I mean, anything going
Chief
on?
Chief Keefe, still a wanted
this
man.
This guy is...
Why do we even know about
We have... Our twerp in the Caucasian race is Justin Bieber. This is the black version of Justin Bieber.
He is.
It really is.
And
why would he even
like somebody
know
said,
about
it should pretty soon it's going to be news when he's not in trouble.
And have you ever heard of one of his songs? I don't even know who he is.
Well, it's not for you.
I understand that.
But this guy, it's just... To get street cred, keeps doing junk.
Yeah.
That's his only purpose.
Well, and unfortunately, in this case, it's because he's not paying child support.
So now he's a deadbeat dad.
Exactly. There's a kid involved in all of this, too.
A kid having a kid.
Go figure that would go sour.
Yeah, that always helps. I got the winner of the Motorola Roadster 2 Universal Bluetooth in-car speakerphone. It is Ann. Hello, Ann.
Hi. How are you?
Good. I got this for you, so that should help out, and you're listening to this program.
Oh, I am so excited because when I drive home from school, I teach. I was so disappointed when you were no longer on the AM.
Oh.
So I'm so excited now I'll be able to get you.
Good. It says download the free. All right. Roadster 2 automatically turns on and connects with your phone when you enter your car. When you're ready to leave it, automatically turns off, saving battery life.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
All right. Hang on, Ann. Can you get Ann's information for me, Aaron, please? Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So that's a good day on a Monday to give stuff away. And like I said, I'll have those guys back, and they seem to be willing to bring stuff. That Dan is on or was on Nick DiGilio or might still be on Nick DiGilio's show doing tech stuff. And when he showed me that FM transmitter, I thought,
nice,
that works because it's so simple and inexpensive. That's the way you want to go.
I mean, you just play. I mean, that.
Would you say it's the future, Gary?
It's idiot proof, too.
Yeah, and that's just two holes.
Yeah, yeah,
if you can't put something in two holes, really, you shouldn't.
It's a basic instinct.
And yet, people sometimes get it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, they're right. You could put it in the wrong hole.
But you'll soon find out.
Depends on what you're calling the wrong
Gary,
hole.
Gary, there's no such thing as a wrong
that's
hole.
That's right. It's a right time wrong hole.
Right.
Right, whatever that is. You should try Ricky B's in the Woodfield Mall next to Cheesecake Factory. Unbelievable burgers.
Ricky B's.
Jimmy Rogers was a singer for the Mods, in case you are approached and asked that question.
Wow.
The Mods have a Facebook page. I want to just say, once again, we are doing marathon broadcasts, so if you are interested in telling people what they can get here that they can't get elsewhere... Out of the 4 hours, I played, what, two songs?
Did you even play two? Yeah, I played Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye and the Mods. The Mods, that song's about a minute and 42. So you got total whatever you want.
You know what I love is, like, so when the guests came in, you had Jim Ramsey, and then the guests came right in right after that, and then Leslie is kicking them out of the chair. It's just like a revolving door. It never stops.
Why do you have to?
I know.
You don't have to.
Because usually it's like, after the break, bring the guest in.
All right.
There was all these unnatural
you know, stopped.
Right, and back after like, these words.
Right. No words.
The words are these words right here.
Right.
Thanks for listening. Have a great evening. Back tomorrow at 3 o'clock on WGN.FM. Some Tommy.